The Don and Mike Show. Want to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? How about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations and restrictions for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamped envelope to the Don and Mike Show. 10800 Main Street, Fairfax, Virginia, 22030. Thank you, and God bless.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
Right, Buzz. Right, Buzz.
Right.
Before we play the lame theme that doesn't really count as the theme to the show, leading up, just a little bit of tape of the local TV guy that I was telling you about, Steve Shanavy.
Okay.
From Channel 5. Now,
Good. I want to hear this guy.
I think somebody got to him and said, hey, dude, don't scream today on TV.
Oh. So he's mellower today?
But still, you're going to get why I enjoy him so much.
Good.
And then we'll time this out with the intro of the dumb song, and then we'll move on. Anyway, here he is.
Everybody has a hobby. This man's trying to make a record-breaking rubber band ball right now. It is one of the top three largest in the world. One of which is Bethesda, I believe.
Really?
Jimmy Lee says he's been working on the giant ball for the past 17 years. It has over 850,000 rubber bands, and it weighs over 3,000 pounds. He says so far it has cost him between $6,000 and $7,000.
We got the thousand. What about the whales?
Scientists are intrigued by a strange discovery in the Baltimore Harbor. An endangered whale, rarely seen in the U.S. waters, was found dead, wrapped around the bow of a container ship. The ship's crew found a 35-foot, 17,000-pound saved whale on Sunday. They didn't realize that they were towing the huge mammal. It was moved to a landfill on a flatbed truck where wildlife experts are trying to find out what happened.
The thing that delighted me, because I had not seen him until this morning, is his lilting voice.
Yes, he's he lilts.
A little bit of Eugene Levy.
He's a big-time lilter.
And the rubber band ball, what, Buzz?
He does make death sound cheerful.
Everybody has a hobby. This man's trying to make a record-breaking rubber band ball. Right now, it is one of the top three largest in the world, one of which is at Bethesda, I believe.
Really?
Jimmy Lee says he's been working on the giant ball for the past 17 years. It has over 850,000 rubber bands, and it weighs over 3,000 pounds.
You got it with the thousand right there. I mean, a thousand.
We've got a lot of tape of this guy that we'll analyze later. Anyway, star of tomorrow today.
Yeah. Wonderful. What's his name again?
Steve Shanavy, Mike.
Steve Shanavy.
And today, I don't know if he's under the weather, if he didn't get his Starbucks or whatever.
Right.
But normally, the delivery is much like, hey, a man's building a rubber band ball with thousands of rubber bands.
Correcting the moment. I see the potential for him to really turn it on. I really do.
And really, he's like the real life. How about that?
Right.
Yes, he is.
Isn't that something? Rubber band ball.
Everybody has a hobby. This man's trying to make a record-breaking rubber band ball right now. It is one of the top three largest in the world, one of which is in Bethesda, I believe.
Really?
Jimmy Lee says he's been working on the giant ball for the past 17 years. It has over 850,000 rubber bands, and it weighs over 3,000 pounds.
That's it. We got it with thousands, though.
Rubber bands.
And he is loud. You said he was loud. He's loud. Can you hear
Still
me
trying
now?
To unravel this one. Fox News' Verge Jacques live on the scene with the very latest, Verge.
Verge.
Tell
us what you got, Verge, with the rubber band man out there. Rubber band, hand me down that walking cane.
Well, it's a big rubber band. Back to you.
Verge, thank you so much, and it didn't stop there. More crime drama continued to unfold near where that suspect bailed out.
Yeah. Bailed out, yeah.
See what I mean?
Taking a few people with him. That's Ray car dragging all over the bus. Bailed
out. Bailed to bail out.
Step it up there.
Rubber band ball. Thousands
of rubber bands, I tell you. I think they all want to do this, I believe.
But, we've got how many? What? One, two, three, four, eight, nine cuts.
Nine.
Nine.
9,000 cuts.
My God.
Anything else on there? Noteworthy? Is there anything noteworthy? Oh, Ava. Yeah. Ava Longoria.
Okay. All right, Ava.
I think based on that laugh, her name should be Ava, she'll worry you.
Okay, before we discuss Mike's possible career-ending injury.
Oh, my God. What a morning.
Mike went to the ER today.
Wow.
Give me, I don't know, I need less than 2 minutes.
All right.
Just for a little letter from me to a friend of mine.
Oh, very good.
Okay. Now, let's see. There's the guy. Now, I want you to listen because I'm going to say something that I really, really mean. And Mike already knows this, and you know why I mean this.
Okay.
There's a website, DCRTV.com, I've talked about the website, good, bad, mainly good.
I'd say haven't we talked about it more than any other show in the market?
Yeah, well, no one else in the radio market in D.C. talks about it.
Right.
We're the only guys that talk about it on the air. I've been through some issues with the guy that runs the website. Likes writing jokes about Frida dying and about my dog dying.
Stalker!
And as you may have heard on Monday's episode, I flipped out a little bit and said, you know, he crossed the line. And if he continued it, then I would have to bring up his dead mother on this show. And I didn't even bother you with this, you listening. What the guy did down on his website was he said for the rest of the month, he was going to block out any messages in the mailbag that had my name on them.
Wow.
Okay, so that's, you know, there you go. You fight fire with fire, thought, fine, let it go. Get up today. Look at the website, which incidentally, I'm telling you, I do a free will, and also I'm going to discuss discipline here.
Okay.
And you're going to understand how easy it's going to be to shut this guy out of my life and our collective lives.
Wonderful.
So please listen. Here's one of the posts. Now, this is the guy, you know, my issue with this guy was not that he has a forum in which people write they hate the show. Mm. Although it pisses me off, you know, it's a free country.
Right. Mm-hmm.
My bitch was with the guy that runs the website himself, that he wrote stuff, jokes about my wife, about my dog. Not funny.
No.
Not cool. Just trying to get my attention. And then you finally get it, and I come back like I always do. You know, I'm not going to hold anything back. I'm not going to bring a knife to a gunfight. You start talking about my dead wife, I'll talk about your dead mother every day on the radio. So the guy backs right down and puts up there, you know, no more posts. Fine, I'm going
to
let it go.
Which we consider to be a victory.
So anyway, someone writes today, you know, I think the local afternoon guys at WJFK, especially the one with the son, should retire. So this is just some idiot who's, you know, again, writing about how the show stinks. Again,
this idiot's right,
but the guy who just 2 days ago had his pants so far in the back of his crack he could taste his underpants in his tonsils.
Mm-hmm.
He can't help himself.
He can't stand it.
He
cannot do it.
And Dave's response is, an afternoon guy at WJFK with a son? Oh, Rob Spiewak. Okay. So here we go. Now, I'm invoking the Lewis the Retard rule.
All right.
And it's time for a letter from me to Dave Hughes at DCR-TV.
Don and Mike, 3FM.
Thanks for that. Dear Fly, how about this for a ban? Dave, after talking about you here in the opening 3 minutes of our radio show, which reaches at least 1 million people a day, I will never mention DCR-TV again on this popular radio show. You have my permission, my moral permission, write anything you like. You want to write jokes about my wife that died in a car crash? Makes you feel better? Go ahead. You want to write about my dead dog? Go ahead. But just know that you will never again have your website mentioned on this show, because I and Mike remain a vibrant part of the Washington radio scene. You are sucking on the teat of the Washington radio scene. You cannot take me out of your life that simply. Here's how simple it is for me to take you out of my life. Watch. Click on Internet.
Uh-huh.
Click on Favorites.
Ah, the bookmark.
There it comes. Click on Delete.
Very easy.
Are you sure you want to delete this item and send it to the recycle bin?
Are you sure?
Yes. Do it. Gone.
I would urge our lovely little family here that everyone, when we go home this evening, we do the exact same thing.
Really?
Sure, I don't even have a bookmark.
Now, for me, I am invoking the Lutard rule.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to learn something, Dave. When I talked about your website, it was me J-O-ing. Because, as I've said before, I'm not beyond admitting that I'm petty enough. I enjoyed reading a website to see what people wrote about the show.
Mm-hmm.
Until you took it a little too far with the thing with my wife and my dog and all the other crap you've done.
Mm-hmm.
So screw you. I'm the eagle. You're the fly. Why don't you see who needs who the more, the most?
Mm-hmm.
I don't need web hits. I'm going to urge my audience not to go to your website.
Hey, to the best of my knowledge, the last time I checked, we have a website.
True.
So
we have connection to the internet.
Mm-hmm. You can write anything you want, and I will not mention it. You're going to know what it's like to have somebody in the radio business take the teat away.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. You know what you are now? Just like your mom and just like my wife. Dead. Dead to me, dead to the show. Write anything you like. But think about this, asswipe. People pay thousands of dollars, literally, to get an ad on this show. To buy time where someone would mention a website.
Mm-hmm.
You don't get that luxury anymore. Because you're out of my world now. Really, you're out of my world. And the only way that I can say this is to invoke the Lutard rule.
Mm-hmm.
If, in fact, I get off and start talking about, oh, that guy has pissed me off,
mm-hmm.
$5,000 to the American Red Cross, and I make that promise on my wife's life, I ain't going to drag down this show anymore because I'm the eagle and you're the fly. I've played with you. I've tasted you. I've thought about eating you and digesting you. I've looked at your site. I've given you some fodder. Now I'm taking it away. So go ahead. Write pages about my dead wife and the car crash. Get your rocks off. Because you're not getting one more mention ever on this show. Your site has ceased to exist in my universe.
And if that is mentioned, I'm here to back you up on this. I'm listening to what you're saying. $5,000, you will write a check to the American
Red
Cross.
It's a promise.
All right.
You're out of my universe.
Banned.
See, the truth
shunned.
Is, the truth is you're the guy writing the website about me. I don't have to spend my time talking about you. And you're such a dumbass, you didn't realize you were getting some benefit out of it. Goodbye. Mean it.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. This is the eagle. I've had fun. I've gotten what I want out of it, but now I've decided that you're simply not worth it. So goodbye, Dave. This will be the last time your site is mentioned. Your friend, the eagle.
Very
and that's it now.
Well done.
Not to say that idiot callers won't call and say this. You know what I'll do? I'll say, we don't talk about that.
Right.
That's it. Done. Mm-hmm. Goodbye.
Good. Yeah, and if you're calling this show and you want to stay on this show,
uh-huh.
you know, you want to linger longer, you don't bring that up.
Right.
Because we're not going to talk about it.
Heats up.
And we're not going to watch it. We're not going to look at it. And I think that's a good policy.
And it's not...
C'est la vie.
Mm-hmm. It's not because I'm afraid to look at it. Jesus Christ, I read that stuff to show you that I'm not afraid to look at criticism.
That was the point.
No matter how insecure I am.
Right.
Boy, this guy's been getting a free ride for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Getting his rocks off. See how you like it. Without, I would estimate right now, realistically, there are between 600,000 and a million people listening to us right now. Please, none of you listening, go to this website. None of you listening ever go to this website. If you've got it on your favorites list, take it off.
Please.
Take it off. So that's it.
That's it. Done and done.
Funeral over.
Wonderful.
Goodbye.
Good.
Taking off the favorites.
Bye bye.
There you go.
Now,
so long.
Let's see. Oh, hold on just one moment. What is this? I've got something here that I wanted to. Oh, it's this guy again. No, I didn't want this.
Scientists are intrigued by a strange discovery in the Baltimore Harbor. An endangered whale, rarely seen in the U.S.
Rarely seen.
Found dead, wrapped around the bow of a container ship.
That's right, Scoop.
Found a 35-foot.
Oh, thousands of rubber bands, Scoop.
Hold on, we need a palate cleanser here before we get to Mike's Tale of Woe.
Oh, my God.
And it comes from our good friend, Bob Barker.
Oh, Bob Barker.
Perfect. Bob Barker was just on the show last week. A good friend of ours, Bob Barker, with some words to start the show.
I go home and I sit down and I get my head back, leaning back, and get my foot up above my heart, and then I sip tequila and I feel better.
Good
yeah.
For Bob.
Bob Barker.
Bob Barker.
He's the man.
It's the Don and Mike show, and they'll say what they wait.
Damn straight.
All right, everything else can wait until after we break before we start the show.
Mm-hmm.
We must today, in the pre-show, start with Mike, who had a trip to the emergency room.
I can see that.
His finger is big.
Yeah.
He's got a gauze around it, and all I heard...
Bad gauze.
All I heard was that... I'm guessing that you chopped off part of your finger. I don't really know. Let's hear now.
Mm-hmm.
Let's hear the details.
I would first like to say greetings and my absolute delight with everyone in the ER at Prince William Hospital in Manassas.
Oh, so that you mean seriously?
I mean that seriously. It was terrific. It was no fuss, no muss.
Good.
But I digress right at the beginning. I've got to start at the beginning. I get up this morning. I have a little chat with Don early in the morning. I'm up. I'm feeling great. It's a gorgeous day.
Right.
What am I going to do on a gorgeous day when it's going to be 75 degrees?
What?
I'm going to go out and hit the egg. I'm going to hit the golf. I get into my best golf dress. I slip into my best female golf shoes. I am dressed to the nines. I am so excited. But one of the things Carla had said to me, and about the weight, 2.5 pounds down from where I was the other morning. So the weight did come off as quickly as it went on.
Most of the
three.
I
lost almost all the three.
Uh-huh.
So I'm feeling good, but I know that because of that, one of the things she had said is you can't skip breakfast. For the metabolism, you got to have breakfast.
Right.
So I spring down, I'm showered, I'm fresh, I've got my best perfume on, I'm very, very excited, I'm feeling
nice
good.
Nice golf dress on.
The sun is shining, the birds are singing.
Big sun hat.
Love to go.
I run downstairs, I'm just feeling so good.
Uh-huh.
And I do my routine, which is, I put cucumbers on my eyes.
No, pleasure yourself.
My routine, my routine in the kitchen.
In the front yard.
Is as follows. One of the things when I've been on this this eating program, one of the things I enjoy in the morning, whenever I have the time to do it, are potatoes. I love mm-hmm. potatoes because you can eat them on this program. They're not a lot of points as far as the Weight Watchers thing that I do.
Right.
And so I'm in the kitchen, and I do this every single morning, and that is I make my fresh potatoes with the little chicken seasoning on them, and I use a device that I'd like to tell everyone right now. If you have this device in your kitchen, remove it.
You don't
take it away, because what happened to me will happen to you.
You don't
might
think
not
it's you.
Huh?
You think it's the product.
It is the product, which is now at the bottom of a trash barrel
I smell
in
lawsuit.
My backyard.
I smell some legal action.
This goddamn evil, satanic, Spanish Inquisition piece of crap device that was designed not to help you in the kitchen.
No.
This was designed to kill people.
The Impaler. What is it called?
It's a mandolin slicer is what it's called.
Mandolin.
Yeah. It's a mandolin slicer. Last week, not 7 days ago, Carla was in the kitchen, and she cut her finger severely, took a little like slice, and the flap of skin was there, and it was very, very deep, and she patched it up, and I said, you have to be careful. Now, here's what they do with this mandolin slice. You know what they include with this, Don?
What?
They include the hand guard. The hand guard.
Oh, good.
Well, here's the deal. You can't use the hand guard on the potato at the beginning because the potato's got the little nipple end
that
sticks up.
This is like a big, I'm picturing
what it is.
That looks like an orange juicer
size. Diagonal. Uh-huh. It's a diagonal, like, piece of stainless steel with two pieces, and you twist this little dial, and it leaves this very sharp blade up, and what you do is you play it like a musical instrument. It's like a little mandolin.
I see.
And what you do is you're supposed to use the hand guard, which it's a moot point. It's a sham. It's a prevarication.
Well, it seems
it's
to be
conjuring.
A,
it's crap.
It seemed to be a product that is pretty self-explanatory. Were you wearing the hand guard?
I don't wear it. You use it. What you do is the hand guard is like it's a
push.
Derby cap.
Were you using it?
I was planning to.
And it has like three little spikes,
it's
right?
It's got three little spikes, and it's very difficult to use, and it's very non-functional because you're supposed to sit the potato in it, and it's supposed to attach to the potato, but you don't get the leverage when you're doing like round potato chip size slices of the potato.
Spikes are to hold the potato
right.
in place, and then you push on this thing to slice.
So
through.
What I do, my technique up until this point.
Excuse me, Mike?
Yes.
Hey, Joe. Somebody.
Joe?
We're on the goddamn radio. I mean, I'm glad that you're having a nice conversation. Could anybody else hear that?
Yeah, I heard something. What was going on?
It's Joe. Hi, Joe.
Sounds like a CB radio in the background.
That, believe it or not, was his cell phone where I'm having some trouble with our traffic staff.
Okay.
So the thing about this potato slicer is what I do is I take a little off the bottom and a little off the top to create a flat surface.
Oh, brilliant.
Because that's the only way that this hand protector will adhere to the potato, and then I go right down the line.
Well, you're set then.
So what I did was, this morning, I took a little off the bottom and a little off the top.
Nice.
The problem was
yeah.
that the little off the top I took, as opposed to keeping my hand kind of out flat, the little off the top when I was doing that, my finger, my incredible monkey-like hands, hung down far enough.
Ah!
And what I do is when I'm taking this slicer, I go, one, two, three, four, five.
And then
I go,
moving your hand
one,
like real,
two,
like,
three,
almost
four,
like karate five, chop.
Right,
rapidly.
Right. And so I did one, two, three, four, five. And this time, the slicer was maybe a little thicker than normal. So the potato was wearing down a little faster than I normally do. So on one side, I go, one, two, three, four, five. And then I flip it over, and I'm getting ready to use the hand guard. But before I do that, I have to take the bottom. And I go, one, two, three, four, five. And when I did that,
the word was F.
This was so quick. And I looked down, and I expect to see perhaps that I've done the same thing Carla did. That was not the case.
What happened?
I looked down, and I look at the entire tip of my finger, including a small portion of the fingernail, has been completely taken off the top of my finger.
Hey, you Lorena Bobbitt did your hand.
I look at this, and I'm like, oh, my God.
Listen,
the fingertip is actually deformed now.
You could be like Ronnie Lott.
Right.
Ronnie Lott was playing a football game. They said to him, you hurt your finger. We can either take you out of the game or we can cut off the tip of your finger.
Yes.
He said, cut off the tip of my finger.
Right.
Put me back in the game. I'll live the rest of my life with 9 good fingers and 1 finger that's effed up.
I look at this thing.
You cut off the tip of your finger?
Not like Ronnie Lott, because that was like from the knuckle up, wasn't
but
it,
you,
when Ronnie Lott?
But did you literally... Was
I cut off a I cut chunk. Off the tip of my finger, an entire...
In 2 pieces?
There was no flap. There was no nothing. And I go, at this point, Carla is in the kitchen. She has come back from work because she works close now, and she comes back to have a little bowl of cereal. And I have cut the dickens out of my finger. I look down at this thing, and when I first looked at it,
oh my.
This is the first time when I look, and the blood doesn't bother me. Blood doesn't bother me at all. What bothered me...
You're a friend of blood.
You know what bothered me? When I looked at the finger, that... All right, I'm going to draw a diagram for you because it's the only way I can do this, okay?
Oh, good. This will help.
There's your normal finger,
okay?
Right.
The next time when I looked at
That's a pretty big fingernail, incidentally. Looks more like one of Fred Flintstone's toes.
Not drawn to scale.
All right. I'm going to draw it again. And then this is what the finger...
It doesn't look like a finger.
This is what
almost
the finger...
Almost like a penis. Are you sure we're not looking at a picture of a circumcision?
This is what the finger looked like when I looked at it the next time.
So you really...
That
are,
is what,
you really
but it's the tip, but it's a nail. It went right through the nail.
But technically, you chopped the tip
the
off
tip
your,
of... Now, the right half of the tip of my finger was
reattach?
Mistaken.
Did they
I'm getting to that. I'm getting to this part of the story. I looked down at it, and I'm... What's that?
If that picture is disgusting...
No,
you
it's
lost,
not that bad. That's
I was
going to
say, did you lose like half a
it's
jelly
more like
bean?
This. It's more like this. It's more. It's not as severe. I'm not going to make more of it than it is.
It's a chip.
But I look
still.
At the finger, and as I look at the finger, there is this chunk, and I look over. And so I'm going, F! I knew it! I knew it! That piece of crap, that lousy piece of crap, it didn't... I'm saying stuff like, God didn't want me to play golf today! I'm so upset. I'm kicking stuff.
Sure.
Right. Carla takes the mandolin slicer and says, that's it for this. Throws it in the trash. Good. I'm going, wait a minute. Huh? And I said to her, look on the plate. Look on the plate where the potatoes were being sliced.
Oh.
And she goes, she looks over, she comes over to the mandolin slicer and she goes, oh, my God. There it is.
Piece of your finger.
And we go over to the plate, and next to a nicely sliced piece of potato is a perfectly severed, tiny little tip of the skin from the top of my finger. Clean off.
Sure.
A rounded piece with fingernail on it.
The tip.
That was sitting on the plate. Meanwhile, I have now half a roll of paper towels that I have wrapped around my finger, and I am holding the finger. And it's really not, I don't think, you know, I'm not like Audrey Raines. I haven't had the femoral artery cut.
Thank God.
But it's bleeding to a level where I can't.
Bleeding.
I was bleeding to death.
No,
I'm putting this thing, and at that point I said, well, I know they can't, it's too small to sew it back on. But I said, we should probably take the tip over to the ER, and at this point, Carla says, well, you know, it's going to stop bleeding. I said, I want someone to dress this.
who's trained. I want a trained professional. Mm-hmm. I figured I had to go to the ER because this thing wasn't going to stop bleeding. I want to be able to play golf tomorrow, mm-hmm. and I want to be able to be functional. And I want to.
Buzz, hold on, Mike. I got to ask you. You made a face. Uh-huh. I made the same face.
Yeah.
But
good luck.
He is playing golf tomorrow.
You're going to need painkillers, Mike.
No, I don't know. There's no pain.
Oh, it's going to be. It's going to be.
It's throbbing. It's throbbing.
He's cut off the index finger.
I can play with
one,
two, three
of his index finger on his right hand.
I got four fingers. I can hold a golf club with the finger extended. I can play golf this way.
Okay.
That's what
up
I play
to that
golf.
Point, Jerry had concealed his Percodan dependence.
I walk yet. Out with Michael, and I
we just wanted to get the bleeding part.
Mm-hmm. And blood came from every opening I had.
That's what happened
eyes,
to me.
Nose, ears,
down there.
Name it.
Mm-hmm.
Blood flow like the damn dike opened up. What had happened was that the Percodan was concealing the pain of a grapefruit ulcer.
Michael Nera.
Promoting
they had me in surgery like in 20 minutes.
Not yet.
I was bleeding to death.
I was bleeding to death.
Michael Nera, that's it. I was bleeding to death. All right, so you get the tip.
I got the tip.
You get the tip. You go to the doctor.
Yes, I go to the doctor.
What do they do?
She finds the tip. And I walk over, and then there it is. And the part that almost made me just, and I don't, blood doesn't bother me. The part that made me a little woozy was I unwrapped the paper towel and looked at it again. And as soon as I took the paper towel off, it goes, yeah. And then I look over, and I have to go to the plate. And as I go over to the plate, I say, Carla, get a Ziploc bag. And I put the tip of my finger into the Ziploc bag. Now, I'm saying a tip. It's skin. It's not bone. It's
right.
Skin. I have chopped the tip of my finger. I have mandolin sliced on this evil, crappy thing. And so I say, I'm off to the ER. I'll see you later. Carla says, call me. You know, let me know if you're okay. Go over there.
Call
and
me if your condition worsens.
I race over to the emergency room,
uh-huh.
or as I like to call it, emergenciado rumedado. Sorry, but you have to say that in this area because when you go to anything, because really,
emergenciado.
Because I, you know, it wouldn't matter Tuesday morning, Saturday morning, wouldn't it? Any time of day, you always are going to. That's required.
Oh, now
I believe there are people from foreign countries that are hired to stay at the emergency room and stand in line every goddamn time you walk in there.
True.
And so I was.
Well, why do you go to the BH?
What's that? The BH?
The Beener Hospital.
There's no such thing.
Why don't you go to the WH?
There's no such thing. They don't exist.
Sure they do.
So I'm standing
come out
there
where I live.
Because I was standing out where you live.
Welcome to the ER.
Thanks. So nice to see you. We've got some lovely sofas over there to recline on. You'll be a...
Look at the flat screen. It's beautiful.
Yeah, but I get there and she said, okay, well, it looks like you're... Are you okay now? I said, yeah, I'm fine. I'm fine as long as you want to keep me here. You know, it doesn't matter. I'll wait over here. I got pressure on it. I don't think it's bleeding anymore. I got a paper towel that looks like Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer that's sitting up the top. And meanwhile, the lady over to my left is going, ow!
Yeah.
And she's got, and then there's a guy over in the other's corner that is sitting there with his hand, the back of his hand up against his temple, and he's doubled over just going,
but can't be good.
Yeah, I don't see any blood, so, you know. But they got me in quicker than I thought I'd be brought in there. They got me in actually in relatively short order.
You want to talk to about 8,000 people who've done the same thing?
Sure.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, guys, how's it going?
Okay.
Hi.
Hey, Mike, you know, I did almost the exact same thing. It was probably about the size of a normal hamburger pickle. I cut it off of I cut the tip off of my finger. And did they have to inject, like, something in the tip of your finger?
I could lie and say mine was the size of a hamburger pickle. Mine was the size of a small jalapeno. Okay. I mean, it's
substantial.
The tip. It's the right side of the. It's the right side of my index finger. It's the right tip. It's
Don
the right,
Mike
not
Show.
The total tip.
Yeah. Hello, Yanni. What?
Hi. I used to work in a meat department at a grocery store when I was living in Indiana. It was around Thanksgiving time, and we'd cut up a ham to go for the store dinner. And I had slices that were a little fatty that we were going to cut up and put in for bean seasoning. So I had a big pile of ham slices. A knife that was way too goddamn big for what I was using it for.
Right.
And as I'm cutting, the slices slid, and I took 3/4 of the fingernail on this finger in half, just went.
And you got it, right they off. Sew it back on for you?
No.
grew all back.
Oh, grew back.
I watched
Charlie.
I grew back.
Remember when we used to
grow back?
Remember we used to do that bit with Charlie, where Charlie was constantly like cutting his hands off, and they would always grow back.
Charlie's would grow back within the show, though. It would grow back that afternoon. Well, I'm gonna be fine.
Yeah,
thank God.
Big more people, I think, did the same thing. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, was this manufactured by the Pampered Chef Corporation by chance?
It may have been. I don't know where I got it. I really don't remember, because now I would not be able to tell you. It's
last action lawsuit, but I'm in there with you.
Hold on. Are you another guy that did the same thing?
It was my right thumb, and it is yet to grow back. It's now just an empty holder of skin.
Mandolin's license.
And I'm having flashbacks. It's scaring the heck out of me.
It is scary. It's scary. more than fear, more than being like uptight, I was more pissed. I was so pissed at myself.
Hello there, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hey, yeah, it's Mike. Hello. I'm a chef, and I've seen more injuries to my staff and myself off of those things than anything else in the kitchen since the last time I ran my hand through one of those when I was carving a carrot in it, and the carrot broke, and I shoved the palm of my hand actually into the plate.
Yep, and that happens. People shave off their palms.
I haven't had a mandolin in my kitchen for 6 years, and I'll never see one of those things again.
Oh, my
Thank
God.
You, my friend.
Class action lawsuit.
Bye-bye. I smell early retirement for you, Mike.
Well, you know what? The real idiot move, though, when I felt really stupid, is when I have I'm standing at the registration area where they have it, and I said, and incidentally, and this grosses them out and makes them look at me like I'm a tard. At the same time, I said, I hold up the Ziploc bag, and I said, I have the tip of my finger right here. And the lady looks over and goes, do you have any ice? I said, no, I don't have any ice. And so the nurse's aide, the volunteer, the elderly lady that's very sweet and very nice over there, comes over and she says, I've got an ice pack for you. Yeah. I said, well, it's not for me. So they said, you wanted ice. I said, oh, it's for the... And I hold up, and she looks at it, unfazed, goes, oh, well, put it in there. So I put the little ice pack in it and rest the fingertip right up on top of the ice pack.
Right.
And then I'm sitting there going, and the lady, the first lady I saw who took my blood pressure, took my temperature, the good way, I should point out, said...
the rectal way.
No problem whatsoever. She said, that's dead. They're not going to be able to put that back. I said, well, I didn't think it's too small to be able to sew it on. I thought they could just rest it there, and then they put a bandage on it and have it just sit there and fuse to the skin. But, I don't know anything.
You
I don't know from doctoring.
What happened to the tip?
The tip is now in the medical waste bag at Prince William County.
Are you sure? Because they could use that to grow a new mimic.
You mean when they clone me?
That's right.
Damn it, I forgot, Jim.
And you should have brought it in. We could have got it right out to the fan.
I know.
Right out to the fan.
Well, when I looked at the first nurse and I said, will they be able to put the tip back on? She looked at me and she said, are you insane?
I love it.
Are you insane? But that's not the best part.
Hold on.
Okay.
We got a break.
Okay.
Don and Mike.
All right.
Hello.
Hey, how you doing?
Okay. You do it too?
Good. Yeah, hey, one time I stuck my finger up my butt.
Bye. Mike just spit water on himself.
Bye-bye. Hey, if there's more, Mike, we'll get it on the other side of this so we can come back with the laugh.
Just a little bit more, because I want to tell you about the rest of my care, which I received.
I'm not the beautiful lady from Chicago.
Now you've got something else in common with Dennis.
I will be on the golf course tomorrow, though. Even if I'm playing with four fingers, I will be on the golf course. And I'm going to let you know how I do. One-handed. It's easy. Mm-hmm. You hold the club like that.
Hello there. Not a mic show.
Please, please, please play the happy song. I'm about to throw up.
would you like a fingertip with that?
The sign of a good show.
Hold on. Now, would you mind if we did a little quick research? Why didn't you like that?
It's just gross.
What's gross about it? It's just something that naturally happens. People sever fingers all the time.
Yeah, well, I've experienced it too, and I just give me the heebie-jeebies.
What was that?
I just want to hear the happy song.
Uh-huh. Okay, well, hey, you know, as always, your opinion matters on the Don and Mike show.
Thank you.
Bye now.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Good translation, Rob.
Thank you.
Very nice. Very nice translation.
Bye,
honey.
Bye.
All right, so we'll get the last part of that, and we'll do what she wanted. Here comes Joe. You know what? I love this. It's just an open-door policy.
The parade.
You work on this show, just come on in. Uh-huh. Come on. Never mind the big sign that says on air.
Right.
Just walk in. You got some. What's the problem, Joe? Got an ingrown hair or something you'd like to tell us about?
No. I just found it ironic. I put in
mandolin slicer injury into Google images, and there are no images. So I thought perhaps we could take a picture, put it on the DonandMikeWebsite.com, and then the next time somebody Googles it, you'll have your finger on it.
It'll be my finger. You know, that's a fine idea. When I, in 24 hours tomorrow, I think I can take the bandage off and we can take a picture of it.
We can't do it now.
I would like to have a picture, but
the whole Google thing.
Just get out of here.
How about a picture of an injury of Joe?
Yeah.
How about you go stick that finger in his eye? Let's take a picture of that.
No problema.
You use chicken seasoning on potatoes?
No, chicken seasoning on potatoes.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh boy.
That's what I've learned.
You want to? Yeah. And you know, he knows I know how to cook. So yeah. Yeah. Try it.
I will.
All right, boys. Hold on. We'll be right back, everybody.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Everybody has a hobby. This man's trying to make a record-breaking rubber band ball. Right now, it is one of the top three largest in the world, one of which is in Bethesda, I believe.
Really?
Jimmy Leach says he's been working on the giant ball for the past 17 years. It has over 850,000 rubber bands, and it weighs over 3,000 pounds.
You got to see the guy. He's got a real square head. And like I mentioned, he looks like a character on The Simpsons. He doesn't look like Kent Brockman,
no. Right?
But he looks like he could be like the Brian Williams to Kent Brockman's Tom Brokaw.
Amazingly big mouth. Just he's all mouth and teeth.
He sure has.
That's why he says thousands.
We're talking
thousands.
Talking to Michael Merrill.
Hi.
Got the tip off his finger. Yeah. We are going to just hear the best part of that story.
Got the dickens out of my finger. You ready?
Yeah.
So I get to the emergency room. I'm in there. I'm in the back. They give me the nurse takes the temperature, blood pressure. She takes my paper towel off.
Take my temperature.
And the paper towel is covered with blood. And as soon as she takes the paper towel off, she says, "Well, it's not spurting, it's oozing." So that's for that lady that was grossed out before.
Yeah.
So she puts the regular gauze on it and temporarily sets it. As soon as she puts the gauze on it, it starts the whole thing starts to
turn red.
Yeah. And you know, but I'm holding it a little bit. And then I put my hand above my head, and it slows it down.
Right.
And so they immediately bring me back to the room. The lady that takes care of me there could not have been nicer. I mean, really, everybody, every step of the way, it was really impressive. And that I've had enough bad experiences in ERs where this was real nice. They take me back to room 31, and they take
my... I always ask for when I'm in the ER.
Then you get your obligatory stuff. Here's the way they do it now. Instead of sitting there, you know, while you're bleeding at a little table, they bring you into the room, the doctor's room where you're going to be treated,
right.
And the lady comes in with a cart with the computer on it and takes your information while you're sitting there lying in the hospital bed, and it's no fuss, no muss, little time saver. I thought it was pretty efficient.
It is.
And she gets done. She goes out, and then I think they're called PAs, physician's assistant,
that's
comes
right.
in,
mm-hmm.
and she's
of ass.
She is that was true in this case. Uh-huh. A very, very nice lady, very, very attractive, comes in and immediately has great the bedside manner. And so when she came in and she said, "What's
Baby.
Wrong?" That of course is when I just burst into tears.
Of course.
Thank you for coming. No, I was really a little wigged out, but they told me during the little screening process, they said, "Have you ever had a? When's the last time you had a tetanus shot?" And I said, "I don't remember." And so I knew I was going to get that shot. And she comes in and she says, "Well, all right, let me take a look at it." So she undoes the gauze and she says, "Okay, we have this stuff. What we're going to do is we're going to fold this stuff. It looks like styrofoam, and it's going to sort of fuse to the top of the finger, and then after a few days, it falls off. And the way this is supposed to work is that, as opposed to a regular bandage, this stuff kind of conforms to the fingertip,
right?
And then it forms like a little scab.
You're playing golf tomorrow.
I'm playing golf tomorrow.
You're an idiot.
Well, I have to. I have to do that. And, and so
No. We've discussed this. It's a charity thing.
I have
You can show up.
I'm not blowing this guy off again.
Well, you can show up.
I might not play. I'll give you that. I might be with these guys. These guys are playing.
But
no matter
there.
What, I'll be there.
You'll be there.
I mean, no problem. And if I have to, I'll try to play with the four fingers. And if it doesn't work, I won't do it. And who knows, when I get this thing tomorrow, when I make it smaller and I re-bandage it and I make it a smaller bandage, I might be able to move. Look, it's not like I can't move my finger. You know, I can still move.
Hold on, you just tried to stick it in your nose.
It will not fit. How could I pick?
Let's just make the distinction, though. This was a serious cut, right? Did you need any stitches?
No, they can't stitch it because it's the tip of your finger. They can't.
Right,
that.
So you cut the finger. You cut the tip of your finger.
It's not like and like an idiot. I'm sitting there with this tiny little yarmulke piece of finger that's in the sitting on the ice pack, and the PA kind of looks over and goes, "No, we can't use that." And then but the physician's assistant and the nurse that gave me the shot, both very attractive, and so I'm trying to be brave. Yeah. And she takes the bandage off and she says, "Okay," and I know that. You know, what I'm looking at is like, when they strip mine the mines and they take the top of the mountain off when they're going to do development out in California. And things like, I know that this is going to have to be treated. And so she says, "Okay, well, first of all, I'm going to pour this. This might sting a little bit. Let me know." And they say, "Let me know if this hurts." So on the outside, I'm like, "No, I think it's going to be okay." And inside, I'm just going, "Yeah." Because it's like being poured right into the wound.
Right.
And she does the little thing where she's dabbing at it, and I'm just like,
yeah.
And one time, I just couldn't hold off. I was a little wimp where I just went, like that. And sure. She does it. She puts the little gauze thingy on it. And then she put, it looks like styrofoam is what she folds over the top of it.
Okay.
And the whole time I'm looking at this thing and I'm just mildly freaked out because as soon as she puts it there, you see the crimson tide just spreads out a little wider. And I'm trying to be, Johnny Tough Guy where, I really think that there should be sick people tend to do. I just didn't know what to do. And I'm babbling. I'm rambling, just trying to be impressive, Mr. Brave Man. I really think, you should have had sick people here, some people with heart attacks and stuff like that. And I make little jokes that aren't going over because I'm really not really feeling like making jokes like that. Have you any history? Have you had a heart attack or stroke? I said, "Not yet." Bring me that gauze. So she's dressing the whole thing, and finally she puts the final deal and gives me the little thing on how to tend to the wound. And I read that, and she goes walking away, and I'm like, "Goodbye." And I think her name was Eve, very very nice lady, and Eve's married. I don't know how that came up, but it did come up. And
notice.
And then the other lady came in, and she, I didn't get her first name, but she was a nurse, and she was very attractive. So I'm still doing the brave thing when she gives me the tetanus shot. As a matter of fact, I think when she put the needle in, I went,
"Good.
No problem here."
Like Bird Lancaster.
"Is there a chance you could stick me again?"
Ah, the lemon.
"Could you give me another needle?" But they were really, really, really good. And, so good. I think I'm bringing them all chicken wings. I swear to God. That's how nice it was. And as I walked out.
Yeah.
I noticed that I've completely lost control of my bowels. Thank you, and I'm walking down the hall. I said, thank you. Good night, everybody.
What do we have for Mike for this fabulous story?
Thank you so much, everybody.
Besides the moral that he probably really shouldn't go play golf tomorrow after slicing off the tip of his finger.
No problem at all. Yes. Oh, it's a Sharpie. Look, a Sharpie. How interesting. You're giving me a Sharpie, like a mandolin slicer. But I'm fine now. I'm fine.
But you can't dial a cell phone now.
No.
That's your dialing finger.
No, I really haven't found anything that I really can't do because I'm left-handed. There's one thing I can't do.
What's that?
Well, I
And then I sat and really worked it.
No.
Wiping?
Wipers!
Wiping.
I don't do that left-handed.
With the right?
Yeah. Yeah, so I just thought I have to be a little careful because we don't want that to,
Maybe Carla.
Actually, if you really thought.
This is where you can find out if she really loves you. Imagine that.
Yeah.
You get done with it in the morning and you present.
Yeah, I think, as far as our relationship is concerned, we've been getting along really, really well, but Carla was finally aware of just how I handle those situations, and I was a complete and total pussy.
Well, you may have been in shock.
I was an angry pussy, which is, I'm just going, man. At one point I stomped. I was sitting on the kitchen stool and I was stomping. I was just like going, "I knew this would happen. I knew this was happening. God does not want me to play golf."
That's right.
That's what I said.
I love your thought process.
I know.
I love your thought process.
God hates golf.
It's 78 degrees today.
I love your thought
process. It's absolutely sparkling.
Wonderful.
Perfect
day for golf.
Sparkling.
That's exactly what it was.
This will be just like last year when I had the back injury, and all I'll be able to do is, drink and drive.
Oh, wow.
I mean, not in that order, but drink and go to work the next day. Well, nothing's coming out right now.
No.
Nothing's coming out.
You're in shock, clearly.
No, I get rides from the restaurant when I do that. But, I mean, it's just, it sucks. But that's why I'm going to... Nobody said to me, you better not play golf tomorrow. No one said that. Not one medical care professional.
Duh.
And they were all, what?
Duh.
No, it's going to heal. I mean, it's going to stop bleeding. The only problem I have...
Bleeding.
Once it stops the bleeding,
I'm going to be fine. And they didn't diagnose the grapefruit size ulcer that I have, which I really do think I have.
This is God.
Hi, God. I didn't mean to say what I said. I know I said it.
You're right.
I'm sorry.
The world revolves around Michael Sean Patrick O'Mara.
You mean it?
I woke up this morning with everything going wrong in this world, and I said, I know Mike wants to play golf.
I really did, Your Holiness. I mean, God.
Cut off your finger.
Yeah.
Now.
Why?
Dance, monkey, dance.
What'd I do? God, I just wanted to get out there. It's the best day of the year. I wanted to.
Yeah.
I didn't even want to play. I wanted to hit some balls.
Spring.
I wanted to go to the driving range. I wasn't even going to play a full 18.
Have you thought about your liver lately?
Yes, I'm really trying hard to cut down. I'm not drinking as much as I have in the last month.
I don't give a rat's ass if you play golf.
That's obviously true. That's why you make me cut off the tip of my finger.
I didn't make you. It's called free will, ass.
Free will? What does free will have to do with that mandolin slicer?
That's a piece of crap.
I threw it away, God. I threw it away, so I'm not going to use it anymore.
Was it made in America?
I believe it was, yes.
Hold on, I've got a fart.
Whoa, look at that. Always nice to talk to God.
Hi.
Hi, God. I'm feeling better now, thank you.
I made Mike O'Mara cut off his finger so he could not play golf.
Well, God, I don't want to... what is this?
Why did you load this, Rob? That's you. Oh, Einen Finger.
And in Sturm.
We haven't played this in a long time, God.
No, we've not, Mike.
I didn't know whether you were still God or not.
I'm still trying to figure out how you slipped this one in, Rob.
I don't know why you started.
You don't know why I started it. It was right. I thought it was hitting the thunder.
Okay.
Rob, don't question God.
Here it is.
My God. Einen
Finger. Yeah. Yeah, some.
Mike.
Yes, God. Oh, boy, what do you have for what?
I hate it when you play golf.
Well, I'm playing. I'm playing tomorrow with four fingers.
Okay. Mike.
Yes, God.
Get a prenup.
Okay, God, that'll be quite enough.
God out.
Bye, God. There he goes.
Everything Don says about religion is 100% true.
Wow.
That's nice.
How about that?
Wow.
That last little tip in right there.
There you go.
That's good. Well, I feel better.
Okay, well,
I'm glad I got that off my chest. And
glad you're okay.
Seriously, I bitched enough. I bitch about things all the time. I'm not bitching about Prince William Hospital in Manassas. They did a great job.
Not until you're back there tomorrow.
Femoral artery is severed.
That's right. You play golf. Yeah. And then you go in there like Dan Aykroyd pretending that he's Julia Child. You know, with that everywhere.
No, I'm going to be careful.
Good.
I'm going to be very, very careful. I am.
You should.
It's priorities, Mike.
I'm going to redress the rule. The tetanus thing hurts, though, a little bit.
You got to have your priorities. Your priority is what?
Golf.
Golf.
Oh, okay. Yeah, especially tomorrow.
Yeah.
Tomorrow will be the best day of the week. It's not happening. I don't care. If I severed the whole finger,
okay.
I'd still try to
play. Hold on. Let's start this show.
Cauterize it with a soldering iron.
Oh, God.
I hope it's worth it. I'm not going to hurt it.
I know you.
Are you in shame?
How you doing, Mr. Heller?
Take the whole finger, Jack.
Here goes his favorite part.
The following takes place between 3 p.m. and 7 p.m.
Or between 2 and 6 or 1 and 5 in the Rockies, noon and 4 on the West Coast.
The Don and Mike Show.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
I thought after yesterday, starting with Harper Valley PCA,
yeah, thank you.
I had to do something to hip up the room a little bit. I mean, I know it's Beck, but if you just imagine the songs that start the show in a daily progression, that's a pretty retarded playlist if you would go from Harper Valley PTA, which was the starting song yesterday, to The New Pollution by Beck, which is
right.
Today's starting song.
You're Rob's favorite artist.
Yeah. You're crazier than Jack.
I am always confused with Beck.
Hello.
And that guy from R.E.M.
Yes, Mike Mills.
Hello.
And Michael
side.
Hi there.
Hello.
Hi there.
He's mentally retarded.
That was a free one, Rob. Hold on a second. Let me open the door, and then we'll give you a room.
Ta-da!
Anyway, you were saying...
He's mentally retarded.
They say, look, it's Beck, and he got fat. How's your harmonica? Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. Trustworthy, and all the ships at sea.
Okay, listen. Not for on air. Not for on air, Rob.
Their names mean princess in Hebrew and red rose in Persian. It's Dr. Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Hey, you, Rob.
Yeah.
And, oh, boy. Was that placenta good? I had the Cruz placenta.
Do you have a little garlic butter?
Because, you know, he didn't eat it.
Right.
I ate it. And you know what would have made it really great if I could have had the tip of your finger? Just to put in there. Just like,
as a garnish?
To grate.
Yeah.
Maybe on the top, like, some Parmesan cheese.
Oh, that would have been wonderful. Well, too bad it's in the medical waste bag.
Cream of placenta. That's a good soup. Hey, this is the Donna Mike Show. You're listening to everybody. And it's a new episode on this Wednesday.
Wednesday!
0419-06.
Hi, Donna Mike. Buzz Burbank here.
No, he's not retarded.
Retarded. Hi, Buzz. And here's your phone numbers, everybody. Our main number, 877-365-3636. Or you could call 1-800-636-1067. If you listen in our home city, WJFK in Washington, D.C., you could call 202-432-1067. If you're a fan of the iPod, you go to iTunes. Well, today is the very first day that we've been able to take control of what gets put on iTunes.
Wonderful.
iTunes, I think, holds 99 episodes at a time. I believe that today we're downloading at least 10 to 15 new segments.
Excellent.
So go to iTunes and get your podcast. And if you want to listen to us on your computer, you can do that on the intranet. Go to our website, donandmikewebsite.com. All you can do is click on the button that says listen live, and you'll get our internet stream. Don't drink it today. This is the combination of melted ice and blood. Blood bleeding from Mike's finger.
Yeah, it's perfectly non-tainted, though. My blood tastes a little bit like Pinot Noir.
Blood.
Bleeding.
Blood.
Yes, all over my kitchen floor.
Blood.
Look at that, yes.
Blood.
Tomato potato.
Sandra.
Lots of blood. Lots of blood.
Bleeding.
All right, glad you're okay.
I feel much better.
Thank God. You could have been killed.
Just a little lightheaded.
Oh, boy. You know, we shouldn't even... You know, I just wrote down something when we were talking in the office. As long as we're on the... This is a bad segue. As long as we're on the topic of medical stuff...
Yeah.
That person we were talking about in the office...
Yeah.
With the teeth...
Yeah.
I estimate that it's been at least 10 years since a guy that we know has been to the dentist. Mike thinks it's been...
I'll double that.
At least 20 years. Rob, you got to know who we're talking about.
No, it was not, but I have a guess.
Yeah.
What do you think? How long?
Nine.
9 years?
9 years.
Buzz, what do you think?
I'll say 12. I'll say 12. And is that who we're talking about?
No, we're not talking about...
Okay.
Hey,
would you hold up?
No,
let me see, please,
no,
please.
No, it's
please.
Not important.
Hold it up, please. Please hold it up.
No, Buzz, hold on.
Please, Buzz.
I live with this.
Buzz, I know you do.
Please.
I'm sorry. Hold on, I've got to out you.
Why did I get out of bed this week?
Oh, no.
I've got to out
this
you.
This isn't for me.
No. Put your brother on the phone.
Oh, no.
Hello?
Joe. I think Buzz wants to talk to you about your teeth.
What's the matter?
No, nothing.
Joe's been to the dentist in the past, like, month.
Yeah, he talked about it, didn't he?
He went to see Dr. Dana, and they cut on him.
Ah, they're very good.
Well,
very
good
there.
It wasn't Joe, Buzz.
In good hands.
It wasn't Joe that we were
Buzz
talking
thought
about.
It was Joe.
Well, I didn't know, you know, who you had in mind.
I thought it was Joe.
Guessing you were thinking of Joe.
Now, why do I care about Buzz? Why do I care about Joe's feelings?
I
care nothing about Joe's feelings.
I knew I was in the clear.
If I thought Joe hadn't been to the dentist in 10 years, I would have just said, hey, we were talking about Joe in the office. Okay, bye, Joe.
I do.
Like Joe?
Clear the record, though. Before I went to the dentist, it had probably been 10 years. And I'm due for cleaning. So.
Okay, but Joe, just remember this.
You know. Yes.
Think about who your friends are here. See you later. Bye-bye.
Bye!
Now you've confused him.
Imagine that.
Aren't you his best friend on the show?
Well, yeah.
I mean, that's what he's saying. Think about who your friends are. I mean, you sold him right out. What?
Mike's his best friend.
Now, who, Joe's?
Yeah.
You betcha.
Now, did you found
still
out,
haven't got an email yet.
You found out who we were really talking about with the bad teeth, right?
Right.
We were talking to a person who works here in the station about this unnamed person with bad teeth. And the person we were talking to, a lady, the girl person, she said that when she's standing there on the occasions that she's been close enough to see this man, that he has bits of food and tobacco and other stuff that's constantly stuck in his teeth.
Well, and Mrs. Piccoli, you're on dangerous ground.
And that they're very, very discolored.
Yeah.
And
so we were just guessing.
We were guessing when the last time this person was had been to the dentist. And what I said to Mike was like with the thing with your finger.
Right.
What I can't imagine, that's why I'm going to give the guy 10 years. Okay. Because I would have to think sometime, maybe, okay, maybe you get by 10 years. But Jesus, beyond that, who doesn't have some type of thing where you're like your tooth will not stop hurting? Or
yeah, an emergency thing. And that's probably where that's happened, I would think.
But see, here's the thing. Like I told you in the office, let's say that this person had a cavity or something.
Right.
Or had like a tooth that was, what do they call those?
Abscess.
Abscess. Thank you, Mike. So you got to go in. You mean to tell me they're not going to open that mouth, which is like opening the drawbridge to a Harry Potter castle, and they're not going to say, while they knock the person out to do whatever it is they got to do, a cavity or whatever, they're not going to say, Jesus.
Get it all taken care of.
Should we at least, you know, clean a little bit?
Right, exactly. You never know. You never know. Because I had an aunt of mine who was phobic. I mean, and if you're phobic about that, there are people that don't go because they are phobic about it.
Ultimately, it's up to the patient, even
exactly
if they do
what
go.
It is.
I have a phobic uncle, and I mean, he's a brilliant guy, but
right?
He hates dentists.
Won't do it, and they don't go. And there are many, 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 many people like
that. Yeah, but then, like with this guy that we're talking about, literally, wouldn't his... Why? Is that making you... I don't think he knows.
Yeah, I know. I know. You're right at this point.
I don't think he knows.
You're right at this point.
But this guy.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you think that somebody would have said to him at some point?
Yeah.
You
know what? I don't doubt that's happened. I would almost guarantee you that's probably happened.
Just say like,
it doesn't matter.
Have you seen the whitening formula in the toothpaste? Have you seen the white strips?
John Madden, for example. I'm sure people have said, hey, man, it would really be better if you flew to this game site. I mean, you really would save the company money, save yourself time. He doesn't do it. And that people, people are just as phobic about dentists as they are about airplanes.
Okay. That, it just, you know, there'd be a nice way we could do some recon maybe to find out when the last time this cat went to the dentist.
Yeah, how do you even start with an investigation like
that? Why did you handle it, Buzz? Because you did so good when you thought it was Joe.
I want to change my earlier estimate now that I know who it really is and say 2 weeks. I think it's been 2 weeks since he's been to the dentist.
You know what that is? That's CYA, because you think that person's going to find out. And now here is your friend, Joe.
Hi, Joe.
I actually know the answer to that question, but if I say how I know and why...
Yeah, all right, don't then.
Then get out. But write it down.
Okay.
Write it down, for God's sakes.
Please remember, we are trained professionals. We are trained professionals. Please. I was bleeding to death.
Well, is he going to write it down?
I think he is.
Where did he go?
He went out to find his pen.
What are you going to
do? He went out to find his crayon.
Go down to cut down a tree to turn it into a piece of paper?
He didn't bring
a pencil.
He's going to be writing it on a skin.
The class.
He's going to write it on Mike's skin.
He's going to write it on a hide.
Okay, Joe? You know, really, you don't have to write it down. Just call up and... Well, no, you would have to write it down.
Yes.
Yeah, and then we would all have to keep the answer secret.
We have to keep the answer secret.
Well, that would be great.
How could Joe possibly get in a conversation with this person?
Right, Joe's
how could Joe even,
right now.
Or could maybe Joe he got it, you know, he said he had a source, so...
Okay, here we go. All right.
Not allowed.
This many...
All right, good. Okay.
This many... Weeks.
Okay.
Buzz.
What did Buzz say? This is Buzz say. Buzz say decades.
No, he said. He said, you know, I held up my fingers like this, and I was going to say.
Okay, but you haven't given a number, so we're fine.
Right.
Right, but Buzz immediately said, you know,
can I see the number?
Silly.
Weeks.
Absurd guess on.
Oh, okay.
Part.
No. Right. No, that's the truth. Apparently, that's
okay.
According to
a good thing. I hope. Well, let's hope that it continues and that work is continuing.
Then I came closest.
That's
brush
a good
early,
thing.
Brush often.
That's a good thing.
You know. Or just do what I do, you know, just wait until they call. And they, you know, that's the one that they won't stop calling about.
Hello?
Hello? You know, hey, it's been 6 months. Hello?
Are you there? Hello?
They don't do that at our dentist, do they? Well, I mean, they'll do it like if you have an appointment, but they won't remind you about stuff.
No, they make you schedule when you leave.
Right. That you have that option. They'll remind you if you like.
Yeah, but see, but a lot of times what I do when I leave the dentist is I'll set up the next thing like 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
And then they call when it gets closer, and I always make something up like, oh, you know, I just remembered I got to do this thing today. So, okay, well, how about next Wednesday?
Mm-hmm.
And that's when they start the cycle of calling with like, hey, don't forget you've already screwed us once, so come in. Oh, and about teeth. Once again, hold on. Yes, Joe.
I don't think our dentist calls back until you've paid your bill fully.
Do we all go to the same one?
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Do you realize Rob, Joe, Buzz, me, we all go to that same dentist?
Yeah. Tracy and I are a little behind.
Because your payment?
So much work done. I mean, we really got tuned up.
Oh, that would explain why Buzz thought it was you we were talking about.
A lot of work done.
With the teeth.
And, you know, when I go to Dr. Dana's office where they electrocute you when you go in just for fun, the last time I went in, didn't I ask him to do something like wear some outfits or dress sexy?
Right.
This time, next time I go, I'm requesting that they wear leather.
There you go.
At least that's one
worth,
of them.
That's worth it. Yeah, at least one. That's worth it. Including, and that one would be Dr. Dana himself.
That's right.
Teeth.
I want him to dress like Vito.
Teeth. Oh, in the gay bar?
Yeah, exactly.
Teeth and tooth and toothbrushes leads me to this. It's nothing major, but I think I should tell you this, just what's happening in my life, that this girl who's not my girlfriend, who I'm just now going to call my chick.
Okay, that's fine.
Because, right. You know, she's...
You know, that's acceptable.
She's a companion.
Mm-hmm.
That's about... That, you know, I've run that into the ground a million times. You know my feeling
on chick.
This. Yeah, she's a fun chick. So I'm having something done with my car.
Mm-hmm.
Had to take it to the dealer today.
Right.
And very long story. She followed me out there, gave me a ride to work. They called me, told me the car's okay, blah, 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 blah. She says, okay. Anyway, she mentioned to me, she said, do you feel bad that I have a toothbrush at your house? And I said, no, I don't feel bad that you have a toothbrush at my house. Because right now, she only has a toothbrush at my house. Because the only time she's brushed her teeth at my house have been after we've had something to eat.
Mm-hmm.
And she's thought that she's had food in her teeth.
Sure.
Or she's thought that she's had bad breath from like some blue cheese, something that she's eaten.
Mm-hmm.
It's not because she's been over there, you know, I've been banging her through the ceiling and that she spends the night and gets up the next morning.
Mm-hmm.
So, I ask you... Is what I don't want to do is, and if she's listening, how are you doing? I don't want to mislead her. I don't want to send out false signs.
I don't think.
Do you guys think that the fact that I'm allowing her to have a one simple toothbrush in my house is a sign of commitment on my part?
No.
No, I think
you've overnighted with her before.
I think you've explained the terms of that toothbrush.
And you've already broken that dam, so it doesn't matter. It's not like...
I broke that dam many times.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
I know what you mean.
It's fine if she does, you know, if there's a late night and maybe you guys have had a cocktail or two, that because you have gone away and done that. So that's cool, too. And she is a companion. You know the rules, and it doesn't matter.
I just feel bad. I didn't know it was her toothbrush.
Oh, Rob.
I did.
Rob, is that the Polaroid you were showing me?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Rob's
tell her to wash it off.
Rob's got a great joke that he does mainly on vacation.
Disinfect. Rob goes on vacation and sneaks into other other honeymooners' suites
Toothbrush. Puts the phone.
Everything was stolen except our camera and the toothbrush.
And, you know, we developed the film when we got home, and there's a picture of Rob with the toothbrush between his cheeks.
Now, remember, Elvis used to travel with toothbrushes for his ladies.
That's right. He used to give them away.
Exactly.
That's right. Is there floss there, too, or does she use your floss?
Okay, she uses my floss.
Well, that's acceptable.
But they're individual floss things.
Right.
They're the individual, they've got the little holder thing, and you snap the little, like, horseshoe thing in there, and it's
floss,
has
on
floss
a stick.
There.
No, a toothbrush is very acceptable.
Yeah. Okay, good.
Doesn't mean anything.
Thank you.
You've made it real clear.
Thank you.
You've gone above and beyond making it clear.
That's right. I know how to win a woman over, don't I?
Mm-hmm.
Hi, you're really great. You're not my girlfriend. Because that's just the type of guy I am.
Your chick.
For now.
For now.
Chick for now.
That's the term for now.
Yeah. Now, for now, I can interpret two different ways.
Today's chick.
For now, okay. Then you just explained it.
Mm-hmm. today's chick.
You explain it. Today's chick.
Because you never know. I mean, you know, the next call I get could be from Jennifer Aniston.
Mm-hmm. Just in case.
Let's face it.
And, you know, I was at the Christmas party, and I really keep a very good eye on Shondell and Russ, and I don't think they can stay together forever.
No, not forever.
I really don't think so. Right. I know they've been together, for a great many years now?
I just want to
say. And they seem, on the surface, to appear very, very happy.
On
but
the surface.
I sense cracks in that foundation. So I'm telling you, there's a chance.
I just want Russ, who's gigantic and big and muscly enough.
Russ, you know, I'm not interested.
That was radio's Mike O'Mara, though.
Russ, I am not. You know, I'm doing this comedy.
No,
Russ,
no, Russ, not, you're not interested.
Russ, if you're listening, I lost a lot
of
blood today. Russ.
Hold on.
He's woozy.
Hold on. Now I think I can say this without getting you in trouble with
okay.
your girlfriend.
Yes.
I would say the same thing about me.
Right.
Which one of us today made her close her blazer?
It was me. It was me.
All right.
But it's because I was sitting on the lower level.
Shame.
She was standing, and
this is the awkward thing when an attractive woman who can fill out a brassiere comes into our office.
Right.
We just can't help.
I wasn't staring.
No, but it's...
My look was fleeting.
It's here's the move. This woman comes into the office, and she's talking to us today, and and Mike's, like you said, sitting on the couch, and he's looking up at her, and I'm over at the desk, and I notice Mike's looking up at her, and just like me, he's looking, you know, at Oliver, and all of a sudden she picks up on it, and it's this move. It's the very subtle...
Why do women?
Got to just cover up, and then she does the thing almost like that girl from Saturday Night Live where she put her hands all the way under her armpit.
They do that.
You know, just like,
that's
just
real.
Cover up, don't look.
Yeah.
I feel at this moment I should make a statement. The statement will be as follows. Carla, I love you very much, and you're very, very beautiful. That's what I wanted to say. Between the lady at the physician's thing, which I told Carla about, and this Shondell thing, I want Carla to make sure she knows how I feel about
her. I mentioned Shondell by name, but
it was her.
Her big husband.
Narrowed it down.
Her big, strong husband.
Her big husband.
Who could always beat us up.
Who you just said you thought they have cracks in the foundation of their relationship.
Just a joke.
He's
making a little joke.
He's low on blood.
Just a joke.
No, I just think that, you know, in the event that somewhere down the line she required any type of comfort, you know, I think you might be there for her.
I think there might be a line.
Mm-hmm.
I think if that ever happened, that there might be many fellows in line.
Yeah, I would think so. Yeah.
And they would probably be at the back of that line.
You think so?
Oh, yes, Jesus Christ.
Well, the difference between you and me is that, you know, in that particular circumstance, the way you've made it clear, the chick for now... But you know,
today's check.
You might be able to make yourself available. I would not be able to make myself available.
Right.
So that is the difference. So I can probably make those jokes about. And now that I'm thinking about, I've got this mental picture of Russ in my head, and now I'm getting frightened.
He's a big type of jarhead guy.
He's a very square jawed guy that looks like the kind of guy that would crack walnuts with his hands. You know, one of those guys.
Yeah.
Why do you think I flipped out at the Christmas party? I mean, I had to go out of my way to walk up and say, "Hey, please don't." I really walked up to the guy, shook his hand. I've known the guy 15 years.
Don't
okay.
Mean.
I walked up and said, "Hey, Russ." Really, hi, are you going to hit me?
Why would I hit you?
He gives that vibe off. He looks like he'd be a character in Sin City.
Yes!
Doesn't he?
Yes.
That's good.
Yeah.
And really, that's a compliment.
Yeah. It is a compliment.
Much like Mickey Rourke in Sin City.
Not that bad.
Oh, more handsome.
More refined.
He doesn't have scars all over his face.
No, nothing like that.
But he's got that square jaw, almost a comic book square jaw.
Big, menacing guy.
Like Travis.
In a serious comic book way.
Big, strong
Travis just walked. Travis, the only reason I do that is because you walked by the window.
Hello. Colin Mike Show. Hello.
Hi, guys. Good looking hump day.
Right. Hi.
In honor of Andy of Mayberry, why don't you call your chick the fun girl?
Well, no, those fun girls were the whores from Mount Pilot.
Yeah, that wouldn't be a compliment.
That Andy and Barney used to bang in the jail while Helen and Thelma Lou were down at the movies.
Skippy and Daphne, the fun girls.
Maybe not such a great idea.
And they also, bye-bye.
Bye!
Did they also talk like this? Hello, Bernie.
That was Skippy, I think, that had the low.
You wouldn't want to steal a page from former engineer Daryl Nichols' playbook, would you? You wouldn't want to use that expression, the old regular?
No, no. Yeah. And here's why. She's not old to me.
Okay.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Touche.
Yeah,
I think you've done...
She's the new regular.
I think you're doing a very nice... This is a lovely ballet you're performing right now.
I'm trying. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Good afternoon, fellas.
Hello, buddy.
The easiest way to get around that without being uncomfortable of what you say is call her my lady friend.
Oh, my okay, well, listen, maybe I could run in circles for ye and see you at the Dixie Stampede, but...
Call her your lady friend.
I figured it out.
Come on, Don.
I only brought it up because,
Well, toothbrush, you're fine with that, right?
Yeah, that was it. The toothbrush really made me think that's something she had asked me. She said, do you feel uptight because there's a toothbrush in the house?
No, in my estimation, if it's a question mark in your relationship, the only time that that would be something where you'd be willing to get a little uptight might be if there were feminine products that came in.
Well, I know that rule. I've seen the TV shows.
That's right.
I mean, when there's tampons in your house,
it's kind of all bets are off.
Right. Well, ain't no tampons in my house except for me, so I'm safe there. American Idol, fabulous.
Yeah.
You know. Buzz, you're going to hate me for this.
You're hooked. You're in.
They were on their game.
I have to say,
last night, they were all good.
It was just a highly entertaining show.
Even though I bitched and moaned about the Rod Stewart songbook thing, the songs that they selected were all really good.
Uh-huh. Yep. And they were sung beautifully. They all picked the right songs. It was really a good show.
The only thing that I'm going to mention about American Idol is when I was watching Gace Young...
Gayce Young. That's spelled G A Y C E.
Gayce Young. Sure. Ace Young. He's a long haired rocker.
Right.
And
he does the whole Constantine.
The falsetto thing.
Mm. He does the Constantine look in the camera, which makes me want to barf.
So they had him wear a suit last night. He had his hair in a bun. In the back.
Oh, I think I know. I just think I guessed it. Before you say it, I think I guessed it.
Write it down.
All right.
Write it down. I called Rob and I said, if you go back in TiVo, the long shot.
Mm-hmm.
Of Gayce Young, it looks like this female celebrity.
Oh, okay. I was going to say that.
No.
From a movie we like.
No.
You called, and it was so funny because, of course, it's caller ID. So I say hello, and I don't even hear hello. I hear laughing because he's already laughing when he dials me.
I'm making myself laugh.
Right.
It's great.
What are you doing, bragging?
Yeah, it's great.
Bragging or something.
Yeah, and you know what? Regis is gone tomorrow, so I guess he won't call you tomorrow either.
All right, thanks a lot.
Yeah.
That's terrific.
How's that?
Yeah.
How's that feel?
Hey, girls. I'll call you both. Now, the answer is, from the Today Show, Ann Curry. And I swear to God, if you happen to have last night's American Idol TiVo, and you go back to Gayce Young singing his song, when they have the long shot from a side view, it looks just like the doughy-eyed Ann Curry from the Today Show. If she had like a smart business suit on and had her hair up in a bun.
Ann Curry.
Swear to Christ, highlight of American Idol, Gayce Young.
He's a skinny guy, that's for sure.
Gayce Young. Yeah, Buzz, there you are, shaking your head.
I'm very disappointed, and you know what's happened here, essentially. Is you're letting American Idol store tampons at your house. Hey, we did agree on who's going to get voted off this week, though.
That's right. Elliot is.
And I believe Elliot's going to go.
Elliot is.
That's too bad.
I do think Gayce Young.
You think Gayce Young's
not
going to win? He's definitely going to be in the bottom three.
He's been on the bubble for 3 weeks.
Right. I tell you what, I don't care if she's on pills. I don't care if she's on booze. Uh-huh. Last night, Paula Abdul's boobs.
Wow.
In high definition.
Oh, my God. They were busting out all over.
Really? I mean, it was. At one point, I had to get an umbrella because I could feel the sweat, the Mountain Dew coming off from between those gigantic silicone implants.
Man, she was low cut last night.
Oh, and she was pushing them together.
Yeah.
Pushing them like two big balloons in her chest.
That wasn't lost on Simon either.
No.
Simon was showing more interest in Paula.
Seacrest
is asexual. I think that he is not interested. I really do. I think he's just all about the career. I really do. But I think Simon, Simon always shows a good, healthy interest in the opposite sex.
The question would be, well, obviously Paula Abdul has the biggest boobs on that show, but next biggest. Now, you might
Randy.
Say...
yeah.
Hold on. Maybe, because he's a fat guy, but... Simon
definitely has mitts.
Yeah, right. And what Simon does is when he wears something. God, we sound so gay talking about Simon the wardrobe.
His clinging clothes.
When he wears something.
This whole segment is gay. When Rob and I are arguing about who calls, this whole segment is very, very homoerotic.
It
truly is. It truly, truly is. We're all sounding gay right now. That never happened.
Simon Cowell. Oh, yes, his clothes. Simon, oh, here we go.
He's a fag.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Last night he had on something very clingy, and at one point when he was having his barbs with Ryan Seacrest, again, I stopped it and noticed that indeed there it was almost like an A cup, I would say, with Simon Cowell. Randy Jackson, hard to judge his mitts because he wears loose fitting.
He dresses the way a big man should dress.
Button down shirts that are always untucked.
And he's fatter this year. He's putting it
he's
back on.
He's better looking fatter, in my opinion.
You think he's less,
I like him fat.
Less alien looking.
Yes, I like him when he's fat. There's certain guys that are meant to be fat guys.
Agreed.
Thank you, Mike.
There you go. There's a compliment.
Oh. And the final comment about American Idol, again,
yes.
The chick that I would most bone on that show is not Kelly McWhat's-her-name like everybody else.
Catherine McPhee.
Catherine McPhee. Mm-hmm. Although she's pretty.
Yeah. And I thought she was, I agree with what Simon said, she was the absolute best by leaps and bounds last night.
I'd still be a tickler. Anytime.
You need to go out to L.A. and have that sign. I'm a tickler.
Any day of the week. This stupid broad. Mm-hmm. And how is she legal?
Yeah.
Okay.
She's 17?
48.
She's 48 years old.
How old is she really?
I think she's 20.
20. Okay. She butchers the song.
It was the biggest screw-up of the season.
She's the worst, but here's what's great. She's so dumb, which makes me think she'd be so good in bed. She's so dumb. She's... I did awful. I didn't do very good now, did I? And the whole time, I'm just looking at her like, oh, please have that dress fall off. Please, if there's a God in heaven.
Uh-huh. I'm a Catherine McPhee fan. I like her. I think she's better looking. She's got a little junk in the trunk, but she is, she's, right. And I think she did it last night. Finally did it.
Although you don't watch the show.
Yes.
I think I know you, and I think I know what you look for in a woman.
Uh-huh.
And I think you might be interested in Paris.
I think so. And then maybe Paris. I would really lean more towards Elliot Yaman's mother.
We've given you either a 16-year-old.
Can I have them both?
Paris is about 16, and Elliot's mother is about 16.
Now we're talking weekends.
Joe did some research, and he said that Kelly Pickler is 19, and he also says she's cross-eyed, which I don't think so.
I don't think she's cross-eyed.
No. I was looking at her eyes.
No, she's snaggletooth.
You don't have the eyes.
She got the little jewel tooth.
Well, yeah, you don't have the eyes unless you've been a good boy.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's
her grandfather was in the audience last night, too. Hello there.
Run, Forrest, run.
Don't you think it would have been great if they showed him and he'd been looking somewhere other than the stage?
Anyway, sorry about that, Buzz. Sorry I let you down about that. Also wanted to mention here in the opening, I love the major development that I saw today in the Saddam Hussein trial.
Yeah.
We don't have to talk about serious stuff. They matched his handwriting to an order given to shoot a couple of people.
Well, there you go.
I'm watching this on TV like BFD. They're breaking in.
Yeah, like that's a revelation.
They're coming in with breaking news. You know, a handwriting expert has matched Saddam Hussein's writing. And I'm looking at this going, wait, hold on. First off, everybody knows guilty. But then the reason I wanted to bring this up on the air today was, again, I forgot how fantastic it is to see him in court in an animal cage.
Mm-hmm.
Where really they have him like in a cage you'd see at the zoo.
Right. Mm-hmm.
That's the best part of the whole show. I don't care about him firing lawyers or if they found his handwriting. Mm-hmm. You could just put a camera on Saddam Hussein
in a cage.
Mm-hmm. I'd watch it all the time.
So they have the signature? For the order, the execution order.
Yeah, right.
So he's not such a good guy after all.
No, right.
No, he's not.
Damn it.
Yeah. Not a good guy, Mike.
Damn it.
Not a good guy. Oh, what are you pointing at?
We should break? Yeah, 5 minutes ago.
Okay, well, can I also tell you that I was talking with someone in New York City today. What I was talking about, I won't tell you now. It's not really important.
Right.
But that person mentioned to me that in New York, in many spots now, gas is over $4 a gallon.
Oh yeah, $4.50 in some places.
Well, now that there are some spots like right in Manhattan and by the Brooklyn Bridge, it's $4.50 or $4.75
for premium.
But this guy said if you even are on the outskirts of New York City now, it's over $4 a gallon, absolutely everywhere.
That little motorcycle I ride every day, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Looking a little better, huh?
Yeah,
huh?
$4 a gallon. At least you know, by summertime.
Right.
So think about whatever you're going to do to save gas.
Quickly, I got an email. Got an email from one of those bulk emails that gets sent out. I don't know. I didn't read it thoroughly. I didn't read it with a great deal of detail. But I think Carla sent me this from her office that she actually that one of the plans is if you really want to make these people hurt, you boycott Exxon and Mobil, and you get everybody just to buy their gas somewhere else. And now, what are you, a spokesman for Exxon? Why are you shaking your head?
No, but it doesn't work.
Why you got to step up?
Go to Snopes.com and search it. It's based on supply and demand, and if they don't sell it to their retailers, they'll sell it to the other retailers.
Just one day, can we please not have point counterpoint?
Thank you.
Will you call?
Of course.
But I think it might be a neat idea.
Target
one of them. You know?
Yeah.
Target one of them. I'd do it.
Anyway, I want to say one more thing.
Make a quick call.
This is about driving.
That's all right. Mama playing in Rob's
phone.
Whose phone is that?
I just wanted to call you.
Thanks.
How you doing?
Sometimes,
you know, don't talk so goddamn much. You know, if I say something, Mike says something, you don't got to be the devil's advocate.
It's always nice to have a nice little idea. I'm just throwing it out
there. We know you're a smart guy.
No, it doesn't work.
We know you're a smart guy. Just come in and make us laugh.
All right.
He's leaning up.
Hold on. Hey, I see you. You're hiding from me.
Hi, Mike.
Hi, Rob. Bye, Rob.
Bye, Rob.
Okay, hold on. Okay, then we got a break. 4:50 about gas. Let me. I'm on the Beltway, right. The 8-lane death strip that surrounds Washington D.C.
Mm-hmm.
Today, speed limit 55.
That's right.
Everybody going 70 or 80.
Also right.
There is a giant sign, one of those big flashing things that they put in the media,
mm-hmm.
and it says in gigantic letters, "Speeders beware." High volume area, radar in use,
mm-hmm.
55 miles an hour. Now, this is not like one of the signs that you see. I know sometimes you're driving and you see like a sign that's built in. It's a regular sign that's in the ground
mm-hmm.
that says something like speed area. They have speed bumps in these.
Enforced by aircraft.
Yeah, and
this is a fresh one, like a mobile unit that they put out mm-hmm. there.
And as a matter of fact, it's one of those signs that like if they want to say left lane closed soon, where you can actually put the letters up like on the front of a bus.
Mm-hmm.
So they've got this thing and it's huge in the median. And right next to it are two cops mm-hmm. sitting there mm-hmm. with the big state police cars. So you get going, and Rob, that's exactly what it is. Thank you. In Eastern Maryland, on Route 50, they have something called the Speed Awareness Zone, where they have signs on the side of the road that are permanent, saying for the next 3 miles, mm-hmm. this is a speed awareness zone.
Right.
But this is not like that. I mean, they've got these big-ass things in the media, and cops sitting out there wearing yellow vests mm-hmm. with radar guns. So I immediately hit on the brakes like everybody else and get it down to 60.
Mm-hmm.
We're all going by. Now, how stupid can you be? On one hand, I don't like the cops giving out speeding tickets.
No.
I think 55 is a crappy speed limit.
It is.
On the other hand, it seems like a very fair way to do it. Rather than have cops hide,
mm-hmm.
if they're going to put up a sign that Stevie Wonder can see that says, we have radar guys right now mm-hmm. and we are going to give you a ticket. I cannot tell you how many people, at least five, and it was fantastic to watch this, five people... We got no less than a quarter of a mile past this,
mm-hmm.
and you make a left-hand turn on the Beltway, and you see nothing but clear road in front of you.
Right.
And they're like, oh, that must be over. And out of nowhere, it's like the parade of undercover vehicles.
Yeah, be careful.
I'm talking about a Nova.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about a Camaro. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about a Tahoe.
They like their unmarked cars.
I'm talking about the unmarked cars that you don't normally notice. And normally when I drive by and I see somebody who's like in a speed trap, you know, you always feel bad because first you think, oh, Jesus, that could be me.
Right.
And then second, you're always mad at the cops because it's like, oh, Christ, don't you have anything better to do?
I mean, exactly. Alone. Yeah.
You think that when you get a ticket.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Don't get the guys that are carjacking.
Right.
Yeah, a lot of that.
But in this case, I mean, really, they had a sign up just as big as all get out and cops there.
And the people they were nailing were the people that were really driving dangerously?
Not,
the people that were just flying by everybody?
Not driving dangerously. Here's
right.
It just, everybody at once. You know how it is on the highway. You see that. And everybody goes.
Everybody hits the brakes.
And we all go 60.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody keeps going 60 as you turn right past Little River Turnpike. And when you make that left-hand turn, mm-hmm. four or five cars just said, hey, screw this. They're not here. Boom. So you would just see. They were like, I would guess they were going 75 or 80.
And the cops were waiting for them.
And I don't know. And there had to be on the stretch of the Beltway, maybe on both sides of the road, I must have counted 15 cars.
Wow.
That had been pulled over by the cops.
Mm.
That seems to me to be a fair way to do it. If we could do that throughout the country,
mm-hmm.
no hidden radar, no cops hiding behind
big giant signs.
If they just put a sign up saying,
you will be arrested if you drive this way.
Right.
It would be fair if the speed limit was reasonable.
But I agree with you,
mm-hmm.
but we can't do that. All I'm saying is this is a better way of doing
things. That's true.
Seems to me a better. I didn't feel bad for the people.
Mm-hmm.
When I drove by, I almost felt like.
Yeah, they were warned.
You're so stupid.
They were warned.
But didn't you see the 8,000 cops or the gigantic sign that said speed enforcement right here?
The password is flagrant. It was a flagrant violation.
Yeah.
That's what it was.
Anyway, just think about that. Yeah. I know a lot of cops listen to this show.
That's not a sermon on your part.
No, it's just a thought.
Right.
I think it would be a very fair way to do things.
Mm-hmm.
Just put out a big sign.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and same for
other charges.
Everything else.
Yeah. And, of course, if you're going to do that, you agree with that. And then, of course, add our other law, which is the entertainer exemption law.
Yeah.
Right.
Where we have cards that we can show the police
officers. ID cards or badges.
So we don't have to go through that whole thing about, hey, I'm trying to get to my show.
That's why Mike and I should get the special lights to put on top of our car.
Badges would be nice.
And they don't have to be red.
And guns.
They don't have to be red or blue. They could be,
It could be like a stage light. And it's just E for entertainer.
How about this? On air.
On air. And on air light
on
our car.
On the top of our car.
Perfect.
That's what we need.
Mm-hmm. I like that idea.
On our way to do the radio.
I'm very sorry I was going 80 and a 45. I'm an entertainer.
All right. Go on right ahead, Mr. O'Meara.
I'm going to have to forgive you. I'm an entertainer, sir.
I'm going to have to forgive you if my finger falls off.
A little bud lost here. Yeah. Cut my finger on a mandolin slicer. You'll hear it later.
You know, we really should have taken a break 10 minutes ago.
I disagree.
What are you doing in here?
I don't know.
We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Tony Perkins has gone coast to coast to California's capital, Sacramento. Hi, Tony.
Good morning, Good morning, everybody. We got a crowd of people here. I don't know if they're here for Good Morning America, for Railfare 99, or the nationally syndicated Don and Mike radio shows in town today. These folks are excited.
The Don and Mike Show. You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
I'm the one telling you how it is.
It's time to make Stinky with Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
We have a moment just to check. We have a little longer version of Steve Chenevy from Fox 5 in D.C. This is the rubber band ball story. 42 seconds, not 20 seconds.
Ah, very good.
This guy, I watch doing the local morning Fox News.
Right.
And he's high energy.
Mm-hmm.
And he talks this way.
Thousands.
And he can't help himself.
No.
Ran tape on him this morning. He's super.
Everybody has a hobby. This man's trying to make a record-breaking rubber band ball right now. It is one of the top three largest in the world, one of which is in Bethesda, I believe.
Really?
Jimmy Leach says he's been working on the giant ball for the past 17 years. It has over 850,000 rubber bands, and it weighs over 3,000 pounds. He says so far it has cost him between $6,000 and $7,000.
Bethesda? I didn't know that.
Yeah, there's one on display right off of Wisconsin Avenue.
I just need to get out more often.
It looks about that size for those of you who are in the need to go see giant rubber band
balls. I think I could think of something better to do than try to make a big rubber band ball.
Yeah, that's good, honey. Right, good beer.
Get around the ball. You know, that was my question, too, because some of them were about that thick by the time they wrap them all the way around. It's an obsession.
Local news. Informative and entertaining.
How about this guy talking about sports drinks.
Also in Fairfax County, an energy drink ban is in effect for student athletes. There's a concern that drinks like Red Bull or Full Throttle can lead to irregular heartbeats and other problems. So they're now off limits to high school athletes on campus during school activities.
All right, hold on. He's not really hyped.
Now Red Bull.
About this one. Okay, let's see his delivery now during wild kidnapping.
Ah.
I go home and I sit down and I get my head back,
Bob Barker,
leaning back, and get my foot up above my heart, and then I sip tequila and I feel better.
All right, hold on. That was Bob here. I think it was the guy wild kidnapping.
Police now say a domestic dispute between a Virginia mother and her girlfriend led to a wild kidnapping.
A girlfriend?
Wow. County.
Wow.
Investigators say Janelle Butler ran off the woman's car off the road and then abducted her 5-year-old son, Tyron Atkins. Police believe she was distraught over a breakup with the boy's mom.
You know what?
Detectives convinced.
We got to keep running tape on him. I think
Cat's mom, one of the energetic days.
Somebody got to him yesterday.
He played it down.
Somebody got to him and said, "Hey, slow down, Pachango.
Stop being so much of a puker." But you know, he might go back into that habit if he gets really excited. Yep. You know, the great time to catch him will be Friday morning. Catch him Friday morning, his last day, the work day.
You got a lot of it, though, with the balloons.
Yeah.
Fouls.
We got a little taste of it. I bet he ramps it up tomorrow.
Yeah. And I imagine they made the big deal that everybody else did about Tom Cruise having this baby.
Right.
I think as a country, we say BFD.
Honest to God, way too much. I am so sick of seeing Tom Cruise on tabloid shows.
I heard them this morning on the Today Show. I heard this two places today. I heard this on Today Show and on NPR.
Ah, well.
On both cases, they said that America is looking at this much as the way that America looked at Lucy and Desi having little Ricky.
Oh, BS. Oh, that's crazy.
Now, I know,
so not true.
I know that's back in the day, Ricky. You know, I love Lucy. Because remember, when Ricky effed Lucy so that they could have little Ricky, they had separate beds.
Right.
Which to me says they did it on the floor.
Sure. In
just like Robin Laura Petrie.
Right. In between the beds.
Right.
That's where most children were conceived in the old days.
That's right.
TV days.
A meeting of the minds.
Mm-hmm. So she's squeezed it out.
Right.
All that stuff about drugs and everything. She had an epidural.
Really?
She screamed her head off. Uh-huh. She didn't have to use that big, gigantic baby pacifier that he got her.
Right.
And the name of the baby, I've known her, is Suri. And everybody keeps saying, Suri Cruz is such a sweet name. You have to consider Tom Cruise's real name.
Yeah.
You know, and this is the thing. Let's see. Well, you know that I've got two names, right? You know,
right.
This is my DJ name.
Don Geronimo.
And this is my real name.
Michael Source.
Okay. Tom Cruise, same way. His DJ name, his movie star name,
right,
is Tom Cruise.
Right.
His real name is Tom Maypother.
Thomas Maypother.
Thomas, although he's made Cruise his middle name now. So his official name is Thomas Cruise Maypower the Fourth.
Maypower or Mayfower?
Maypother.
Is that the correct pronunciation?
Wow.
Maypother.
Maypother.
Maypother?
So the kid's name
Please, sir. Pronounce my name correctly.
So the kid's name is Suri Maypother.
That's Suri.
Which almost to me sounds like a syrup product.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, new from Log Cabin, it's Suri Maypother.
Mm. Sounds a little Middle Eastern to me, but I guess it's a Persian word, right, for spaghetti sauce or something like that? What is it?
Red rose in Persian.
Red rose in Persian?
I think literally the translation means, I effed this girl to make the baby unlike the ones I adopted with you, Nicole.
And now he's, but marriage to come, right? They haven't done the,
marriage to come.
Wow.
Yes, no, he's not made an honest woman out of her yet. And listen, why should you?
I heard him with Diane Sawyer with a little clip on one of the shows. Might have been Access Hollywood, where he's talking about how he doesn't get colds because he's achieved some sort of, like, grand wizard status in the Church of Scientology.
That's right.
And apparently when you reach this level, they say in Scientology you can will illnesses away, something like that. And he's looking at Diane Sawyer, and, of course, she's throwing those very difficult questions like, I understand you can control your illness. When's the last time you got a cold? Which, you know, he loves that question because he gets a smirk on his face. He says, I can't remember.
Yeah, never. Right. Okay.
Thanks
all
for
right.
the softball, Diane. Same softball as you gave Michael Jackson.
Thank you, Tommy Maypother. Tom Maypother. Is that the correct pronunciation?
Maypother.
Tommy Maypother.
Someone might want to check and see if there's any chance that some of its relatives actually came over to this country on the Mayflower.
And I know that you, like me, Mike, watch Regis every day. Oh, we're going to be talking about this in a second. Regis, incidentally, will not be on the Regis and Kelly show tomorrow.
Oh, no.
On his way to Los Angeles, not made up. He's going on a date with Jack Nicholson.
That's going on a date tonight. He's probably out in L.A. as we speak.
Mm-hmm. Tonight's the last night of the NBA regular season. Tomorrow's the last night. Coming towards the end. So Nicholson is taking Regis to a Lakers game tonight.
Yeah. Didn't he have his hours wrong, though, too, a little bit when he said 12 hours?
12 hours from now, I'll be at the game.
That was wrong, wasn't it?
Yeah, because he's at 9 o'clock in the morning. He was on Los Angeles. He was using New York time.
Yeah, he was using New York time.
So at 9 o'clock in the morning, he was saying this morning on TV, in 12 hours, I'll be at the game. Well, no, in 12 hours, it'll be 6 o'clock in Los Angeles.
Exactly.
Right. So, yeah, he's an old man.
Yeah, he's an old man.
So are we. One of the things, but because I was thinking, we're old men, because I couldn't remember why I brought that up. Now I remember why I brought it up.
Because it was Mellow Ridge?
No. A couple of days ago on the Ridge's show, he was going on about this list of the unsexiest men. Did you hear when he was talking about that?
Yeah, and I like that list, too. The list was very, very... Because that was a list that I actually found a great deal of validity to.
You only got the top 10. Okay. I have the entire list of the one...
Good, because I like the list.
The 100 unsexiest men in the world.
I really think they put some time and effort into this list.
Now, everybody probably has heard the top 10. Number 10, Don Imus.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Number 9, Jay Leno.
Right.
Number 8, Osama bin Laden.
Mm-hmm.
Number 7, Mike Mills from R.E.M. Number 6, Chad Kroeger. Number 5, Alan Colmes.
Who's Chad Kroeger?
Don't know. Oh, the guy from Nickelback.
Oh, that's okay. All right.
Number 4, Alan Colmes, the dope from the Sean Hannity show.
That was one of my favorite polls right there.
Number 3, yeah, okay, let's mock the crippled, Roger Ebert.
Roger Ebert. I just really can't understand why they're putting me on a list of unsexy men. Frankly, I never think about sex.
Number 2 is Randy Johnson, the big unit.
Oh, yeah.
And number 1 is Gilbert Gottfried.
Randy Johnson was so upset about it that, in that Yankees game last night, he got shelled.
Now, as you continue to go down the list.
Sorry, they're in last place, incidentally.
Of the men. Mike, it's April.
Sorry.
The men that, don't make me be a Yankee fan.
I know.
I'm just, you know.
You know, in the last, I just don't get many opportunities to say that, so I take advantage of it. I know it probably won't last long.
Do you know that number 11 on the list?
Yes.
And he's barely a man. How could this be?
Gilbert Gottfried's in the top 10?
Yes.
Okay. He's the author of it, you know.
I can't give bowling notes.
Right. He's number 1. Michael Jackson is the 11th unsexiest man in America.
I agree with that.
Yeah, right. But he's not a man anymore.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter. But technically, if you found, you know, if you really wanted to do a strip search, you'd probably find a twig and berries. You got to call him a man.
Now, as you go from 20 to 10, it's a pretty strong list as well.
Okay.
I'll give you some of the highlights.
This I don't know.
At 19, we have Chevy Chase.
Okay.
At number 17, we have Jerry Seinfeld.
Oh, that's great. I like that.
16, we have Carrot Top.
Yeah, sitting. The weird-looking, the muscle-bound weird Carrot Top.
At 15, we have John Lovitz.
No.
And at 14, we have Richard Simmons. Now, wow. Moving on down to the next 30, or the next three, rather, 20 through 30.
Now, did you give 20 through 15?
I gave you the highlights.
Okay.
Here are the highlights of 20 through 30.
All right.
Continue to move our way down. Ron Howard, 21. 22, Clint Howard. Ron's younger, balder, and weirder brother.
Wow, Clint Howard, very close.
These are the ugliest men, the most unsexy men in America. Then you have Bill Gates.
Right, oh yeah.
Paul Schaefer. Axl Rose. Tim Burton.
Right.
Edward James Olmos.
Yeah. Hey, this list is funny. They put some time and effort into this list.
Mm-hmm. Never heard of him. Never heard of him. Tony Kornheiser.
Hey. Oh, poor Tony.
Wow. Agree there.
Tony would agree with that, though.
Tony Kornheiser, incidentally, right between Don Zimmer, former bench coach for your New York Yankees.
Now, see, I don't think that's fair because Don Zimmer's like 100 years old.
And Chris Kattan.
Right.
Then I'll give you some highlights between.
That's Corky Romano, right? That's
right.
Perfect. I like that.
Between 30 and 40 is where it starts to get lean with people that you've not necessarily heard of.
Okay.
Christopher Lloyd.
Is that...
What's his name?
Jim Gutowski.
I think that list is a travesty.
Scottie Pippen.
Mm-hmm.
Larry David.
Yeah.
Michael Moore, 38.
You think?
Yeah, I think he should be higher. Followed by Al Franken at 40.
Yeah, Al Franken.
Now let's go between 40 and 50.
Mm-hmm.
42nd most unsexy man in America, Rush Limbaugh. Then at 45, there's Nick Nolte.
Bad. Now, see, Nick Nolte in his day was quite the heartthrob,
yeah,
but we all saw the mugshot.
Mm-hmm. 46, Leif Garrett. 47, Andy Dick.
Andy
49. Now, to me, this guy's a top 10 performer. He's a PTP, baby. He's awesome. He's so ugly. Lyle Lovett.
Oh,
but he's
yeah.
only at number 49.
Hey, you know, he might be the only guy on that list that has really dated a super movie hottie.
That's true.
Let's go to 50 to 60.
Julia Roberts.
Yeah. At number 50.
Married her, didn't he?
Married, yes.
Yeah. Rick Ocasek.
Yeah.
He is ugly.
They definitely don't like the skinny guys.
Billy Wyman from your Stones. Danny DeVito.
Hot wife. Drew Carey.
Yeah.
Okay.
Rob Schneider. Bill O'Reilly.
Right. Hey, congratulations, Bill.
Clay Aiken.
Mm-hmm.
Trina. Let's go 60 to 70. All right. Again, just the highlights of the unsexiest men. Joe Lieberman.
Yeah.
Dennis Miller. Now, I tell you what.
I think Dennis Miller's sexy.
Dennis Miller must really feel bad about himself because just above him, meaning, or rather just below him,
right.
meaning that they think Dennis Miller is the 64th most unsexy man. Number 65 is John Madden.
So Dennis Miller is more heinous than John Madden.
Yeah,
wow.
Right.
That's a good who would you do.
You've also got, Dennis Miller.
John Madden.
No matter how much I love football.
John Madden in a heartbeat.
No, come on.
More to love.
John Madden.
Warmth in the winter, shade in the summer.
You get lost in there, Mike.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
You get lost in there.
To me, that would be a fun maze.
Be like Yogi Bear going into that big cave, going, hey, Mr. Ranger.
You know what it would be like? It would be like being in a corn maze.
I'll give you some of the other highlights now from 70 to 100.
Probably find some.
From 70 to 100, we have, hold on. We've got, there's a friend of ours, Kevin James.
Oh, hi. Dear.
Uh-huh. Kevin James made the list. And then you've also got George Steinbrenner.
Mm-hmm.
You've got Joey Buttafuoco.
Right.
Gary Shandling. Meatloaf.
Right.
Joe Walsh. Mm-hmm. Art Garfunkel.
Definitely.
This list, they have really done a good job.
Yeah, they have.
Howie Mandel.
Sure.
Deal or no deal. Dick Vitale.
Yeah.
Jeff Van Gundy, the basketball coach who looks like a mortician.
Yeah, he got the anus eyes.
And finally, let's go 90 to 100.
This is the last 10?
The last 10. Okay. Jose Canseco. I'm not a faggot.
Uh-huh.
I'm not gay.
All
I'm right. not a homo.
All right.
He seems to me to be not ugly.
Still kind of buffed up.
Bottom of the list.
But I'll tell you who he's surrounded by.
Okay.
Just ahead of him
mm-hmm.
is Ralph Nader.
Yeah.
And just behind him is Bill Parcells.
This is a funny list.
Then here's your bottom four.
Uh-huh.
Your bottom four. Dom DeLuise at 97.
Poor Dom DeLuise.
Emeril Lagasse at 98.
Wow.
Kevin Federline at 99.
Awesome.
And this is the only place this list, which is a great list of the 100 most unsexiest men alive,
mm-hmm.
It comes from a newspaper called the Boston Phoenix. This is the only one that they lose me on. Number 100, Brad Pitt. You know, just because
they wanted to just be
and
cute.
You know, funny.
Right.
He may look good, but if the rumors about his hygiene and BO issues are true, he's probably not worth it.
Yeah, a little gay there.
But what a great list.
Hygiene.
Yeah. A little catty there, don't you think?
Yeah.
But other than that, really a well-thought-out list. Except for the Brad Pitt thing, I think they did a good job.
You know, and I see, you could rearrange this thing all day long.
Yeah.
But, I mean, looking at it. Okay. Oh, and I forgot. Did I mention also in the top five is Dr. Phil?
Dr. Phil.
Dr. Phil's number four.
You know what?
What?
This is crap.
I know.
I'm going to jerk a knot in your tail.
That's a good list we got there.
Yeah.
And then I sat and really worked it.
Did we mention the Regis thing? Sorry about old men. So, mm-hmm. The deal is, Regis has like, you know the way that John Madden, speaking of John Madden, and Frank Caliendo alluded to this, although not in graphic terms, John Madden has a man crush on Brett Favre.
Yeah, sure.
I mean, there's no doubt about it.
Mm-hmm.
If Brett Favre stops to pick his nose, John Madden will turn it into a romantic episode.
Right.
Regis Philbin, apparently feels the same way about Jack Nicholson, that he has stalked him out a couple of times.
Right.
One time, he was in Los Angeles at a Lakers game.
In the cheap seats.
Yeah, couldn't find his way to Jack Nicholson, but actually had a note put on Jack Nicholson's car.
Oh, man. Oh,
so Jack Nicholson, like, called the Regis and Kelly show the next day, you know, and said, like, hey, Regis, you know, I'm your friend. Anyway, he's actually going out to California tomorrow.
Wow. Do you think he's going to have film?
Or today.
Do you think he's going to have camera people with him?
No, I think he's going to do what he always does. He's going to take one of those disposable Kodak cameras and come back with those little tiny Polaroids and hold them up with his big old man talons so we can see his big, long Howard Hughes fingernails.
Yeah, I mean, he's probably, he really is, I think what you're seeing is the truth. He really is starstruck when it comes to Jack, so he probably wouldn't bring the camera. How cool would that be? Wouldn't you love to have a little tour of Jack's house?
And if you're not like Mike and I, you're not at home eating bonbons at 9 o'clock in the morning watching Regis, you wouldn't know this, but this guy has gotten on this show for the last 3 or 4 days and seriously talked about how excited he is to be going on this date with Jack Nicholson, saying he's excited to go to his house.
Yesterday went out of his mind. It was Jack, Jack, Jack. He was just, what do I wear to Jack? What should I say? What should I do? Pippa, what should I talk to him about? Should I wear this? Should I wear a tie? What's going on? And he's totally out of his mind. Today, it's the Believe Your Own Press, Regis, which makes me want to barf.
So when we come back, we will talk to Regis.
Oh, good.
And if we're lucky, maybe we'll get Jack on the phone.
Very good.
And we can have a two-way here.
Yeah, well, Regis is out there in, you know, in L.A., and he said he'd be available.
Yes. I don't know how we're going to work it with Regis, if Regis is going to be in the studio or on the telephone.
I think Regis is going to be on the phone today, because then he's he can put Jack on very quickly, and they can go back and forth.
Oh, beautiful. On the Sky phone. Oh, right, that one that where you talk on the phone that's in the seat in front of you.
Of course.
But that would mean that Jack would be on the plane with Regis.
I think they're flying together.
They're not flying together. Regis is in Los Angeles, and he will be on the telephone.
Oh, he's already arrived.
He's there already.
He's already there.
His plane has landed, and I believe he is at Jack's house, but he's got a phone number that he gave to us, and I think he's available.
Well, that explains.
I heard something about that. They're doing something. When we checked with them, it sounded like maybe they were playing tennis or something. Hmm. Something to make an old man out of breath. I don't know what it was.
This is the Don and Mike Show. This is the Don and Mike Show.
Cousin! What do you think of my spread, huh? Can you believe it? They used to test H-bombs on this beautiful piece of property.
Eddie, don't you worry about radiation.
All I know, Clark, is that my teeth have never been whiter and my garden is spitting out 50-pound tomatoes.
The Don and Mike Show. Nightmarishly elastic. The Don and Mike Show.
Well, he's a fag. It might be for me for picking this song, or it might be for Regis. How are you? We're going to call here in a second.
Good.
We'll call him right now.
Good.
And then when are we going to have the argument with the harmonica guy? Today? Next break? Remember yesterday, or the other day, I was screaming about Billy Joel?
Mm-hmm. Right.
I hate him. I hate Bob Dylan and the guys that wear harmonicas on those things that look like retainers.
Right.
you know, it's like the sign of a suck show.
You don't see that very often.
Well,
anymore.
Rob found some harmonica advocate
who's
going to play the harmonica and going to tell us why it doesn't suck. No
like Taylor
intended.
Hicks.
Yes.
Yes.
But right. This guy's a pundit.
Mm-hmm.
That'll be great.
Soul Patrol! And also, Jesus, there's a great Craig Wilson today I'd love to get to. It's really, really good. And then, I know that you hate it, Mike.
Yes?
The comic book talk.
Ah, but I know you love it, so I humor you.
But there's some disturbing news in the comic world.
Yes. Something that you take personally very seriously?
I do. I won't get into it now, but it's called product placement.
Oh, boy.
Product placement.
In the comic books?
The comic books.
Very scary.
For instance, can I just tell you something?
What?
There's a brand new character for DC called The Rush. Now, not like The Rush Limbaugh.
Right.
It's called The Rush.
Oh,
not
no.
That Rush. No, anyway, The Rush is a new superhero.
Uh-huh.
He's going to be driving a Pontiac. A Pontiac Solstice.
What's wrong with that?
Everything.
Why are you upset, comic book boy?
You know what? Another time, Mike.
Very good.
Because there's a whole list of stuff. But, I mean, hey, come on. My superhero driving a Pontiac, you know, and having it. Anyway, Let's get on to Regis here.
Oh, good, good, good.
Let's all get on Regis.
Yeah. We had someone check. He is out at Jack's house.
Yeah. Good.
That's where we can reach him.
Who's on the phone? See that line, the night line that I have to use to call?
No.
Who's on the phone?
Oh, no. We need to clear it out.
No ask, Sherlock. I mean, there's like two lines that I can use to call out on here.
One of them's busy.
And someone is using it now, I guess, like for chat service. Thank you.
Or
thank you for
pizza.
Thank you for hanging up the phone. I'm calling Regis's cell.
This is about the goat screw.
This is exciting.
It was Joe?
Yeah.
Of course it was Joe. Is it Regis?
Hold on.
Andrew.
Hello?
Regis Philbin?
Yeah.
Don,
who am I speaking with here?
Don Geronimo, Don and Mike Show.
Oh, Don, how are you? How are you? It's How are you, Don? I'm not doing too well.
What's going on, Reg?
Nothing. Nothing really bad.
Are you at Jack Nicholson's house?
Yeah, I am.
Are you crying?
I think he's crying.
I'm a little emotional.
What's wrong, Regis?
Don, I really, you don't understand. I don't really want to talk about it.
Why, what's wrong?
Something horrible.
You can tell us.
Something horrible's happened.
What happened, Regis?
I can tell you, right? You're a pal?
Yes.
You're a pal. We've been pals for a long time.
Yes, Regis.
Can I tell you the whole thing?
Yes, I'll...
Because it's a pretty horrible story.
Tell me everything. All I know is I watch your TV show in the morning.
Oh, it turns out. I got to tell you, Don, my buddy. My pal, Jack's a bad one.
What do you mean?
He's a real bad one.
What did he do?
He took complete advantage of me.
Oh.
And I'm keeping the stiff upper lip because, you know, it's Jack. He's a major star, and he went down to clean himself up, and I know he's coming back up here, but I'm in Jack's bedroom right now.
Are you bleeding?
I had no idea.
Are you bleeding?
I don't know what I am, but I'm not happy. Things are horrible. I've never felt like this. I feel so dirty. I feel as dirty as I've ever felt.
That's awful.
I came out here, I flew special just out to see Jack, and I was really excited about the whole thing. I can barely talk to you on the cell phone right now because I'm restrained. I'm tied to the bed.
Like
a pig on a spit.
Wow. You kind of asked for
this. I don't feel good.
You kind of asked
for it. I'm an old guy. I'm not used to this.
I mean, when you were on TV, you're talking about dating Jack.
Hold on a second. Here he comes. Hi, Jack. You ready for some more? What about it?
Put him on.
No, I don't want to. Hey, I got him on the phone right now. It's Don Geronimo, the radio guy. You want to talk to him? Yeah. Hello?
Jack.
How are you?
Hey, what are you doing to Regis?
Nothing.
You having BS with him?
He's a good guy. Regis came out here to see me.
Are you having BS with him?
I don't want to go. I don't want to go into any detail, but Regis decided he'd come out and visit me, and I'd show him my house, give him a full-blooded tour. Regis has a symptom or two.
Huh.
I know I'm dehydrated. The room smells like bleach and helium. We're having a good old California time getting ready before we go out to the big, big game. You know, it's the Lakers' last game out there. Reach wants to see it, but he's a crybaby.
Yeah.
Doesn't understand what I'm doing here, you know. Come on now.
Yeah, BS with him.
Hey, be a man. Be a man.
Jack.
Wow. Hey, Mr. a little whack.
Mr. Nicholson.
Yeah, how are you?
Do you know what I mean when I say BS?
Yeah, I think I get your drift. I have to point out...
Butt sex.
I've been in Hollywood a long time now, and I know what butt sex is all about. I wrote the novel on it.
Yeah.
I'm trying to get our friend from New York City to be a little more experimental, but he's whining
like
a little girl in petticoats.
Ask him what he does with his friend Gelman.
Hold on a second. Wants to know what you do with your friend Gelman. I don't want to talk about that. Could you just untie these, Jack? Could you untie these restraints, please? In good time, my friend.
Hey, Jack, you know...
I got him tied to the bed.
Wow.
You know, just like a little girl that he is.
You know,
my crimson silk sheets are in ribbons. The closet's in a shambles. We've been wrestling all afternoon out here. It's midday out here, you know.
You know
right after lunch, nothing like a good tumble.
Yeah,
that's what I always say.
221 in Los Angeles.
Oh, is it really? Hold on a second. Let me take off my Velcro shoes. No problem. What are you doing right now?
I'm thinking about you in that movie with Diane Keaton.
Sure, yeah.
Where you go to the hospital and, we get to see that shot of your ass.
What a lovely lady.
In a hospital gown. Uh-huh. And that's not an attractive ass you have, Jack.
Well, you know, you're not as young as you used to be. That's what I always say. Hers ain't that great either without the body makeup.
So you've got...
Roadmap, the vein patrol.
You've got Regis at your house.
He's upstairs. I showed him the art collection, and then we walked around and saw some of my gardens. Had a little late lunch as he'd been traveling all day, and I just dropped a little something in his mimosa, and one thing led to another, and Regis woke up, and now he's tied to my bed, and he's flopping around pretty good for an older fella.
Huh.
Calm down there, Philbin. I've always wanted to do this. I'm back now. I left Reed alone while I fixed a salad. I ate it while I drove my rascal around my property. Now he's upstairs and he's ready. I think he's real ready.
Yeah, I think
he was ready 2 hours ago. And you know, now it's real exciting.
Why don't you know what you should really do if he's offering resistance? Ask him what he does with Gelman, because he has a secret relationship with Gelman.
He wants to know what you do with Gelman.
Hey Jack, did you know that?
I don't want to talk about that. Why don't you untie me? For Christ's sake, Jack.
I thought it would go
untie
better.
Untie the restraints. I'm having trouble breathing.
He is such a little bitch. I'm naked except for my orthotic socks. Oh, he's just complaining. You want to talk to him? I'm going back downstairs. I'm going to get some Oreo cookies, and I'm going to get a cat o' nine tails that'll make Regis Philbin do his best show ever.
Wow.
All right,
I
want to talk to you, Candy. Hello?
Hey.
I'm terrified. I'm absolutely terrified. Can you get help for me? I need Don. Are you there?
Yeah,
Don.
You know, Regis,
I need you to get a message to Michael Gelman for me. You have to tell him to get on the quickest plane he can come out and rescue me, for the love of God.
Maybe he's listening. Maybe your cell phone will ring and it'll be Gelman.
Jack's been smoking reefer all day. He sparked up as soon as I arrived.
Wow.
He's out of his mind.
Is that your cell phone, Regis?
Yeah, hold on a second. I gotta take another call.
Okay.
Hello? Oh, you gotta come out and get me. Michael. No, he's not in the bedroom. He raped me. I swear to God, please, don't ask your stupid questions. You know... No, I didn't encourage him, for the love of Christ, I didn't encourage him.
Tell him all you did was wake up, he had some cranberry juice.
He's a Hollywood actor.
And your butt was bleeding.
He's a Hollywood actor and he violated me. At least I think he did. I'm all confused. Michael, get on the plane. Come out here as soon as you can. Rescue me. Good. I love you too. Come out as soon as you can. Goodbye. Oh, thank God. Don, are you there?
Yes.
Oh, I swear to God. He ripped the rings right out of my piercings.
You know,
he's an animal. He's a wild animal. You know, they say he's slowed down. He hasn't slowed down there, boy. Jack's as much of an animal as he always was. I'm face down, tied to satin sheets with restraints. I think he used his golf socks to tie me to the bedpost. And I'm in agony right now. I don't know. I feel very full, like I ate a really big meal. I don't know what's going on.
Is this the old Rod Stewart story?
I have no idea. Well, I know
Rod Stewart allegedly had to go to the hospital to get his stomach pumped.
I don't know. Whatever you're doing, please don't make light of this. I feel seriously like I ate a giant porterhouse steak that was too big for me.
You know what?
It's really, really scary.
I bet Joy's going to hear this on the radio.
Hey, hold on. Coming back. He's in the hallway.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
What?
Jesus. He's wearing an outfit. He looks like the Gimp. In Pulp Fiction.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, he's going to hurt me. My eyes are weeping, Don. Here he comes. I got to be quiet. Hold on.
Okay.
Hi,
all right.
Jack.
Be quiet.
Jack, please don't do that.
Get in. Come on.
Don't do that.
Uh-oh.
Don't do that.
I want you to do something.
Oh, I don't want to hear this.
Oh,
I don't want to hear the violation of Regis.
Oh, that can't be good.
We're going to call him Vito Philbin. Hey, Vito.
Pretend you're having a McGraw.
You're Ally McGraw. Say I'm Ally McGraw.
Hey, what?
Say I'm Ally McGraw. I'm Ally McGraw. Yeah. Jack likes you.
Oh! Oh!
Poor Reed. Hope he's well by Monday. Wow.
You know, I'm sorry, I have to hang up.
Jack,
bye! That to me sounded like a man being violated.
Yeah, I have no idea what's
not
going on.
Not in a good way.
I have no idea what's going on.
Sounded to me like they're fighting.
Yeah. Didn't sound good. Certainly didn't sound good. Who knows what was going on? It's tough to interpret that.
Well, I don't think it's so tough.
Let me call them back. You know, we got 1 minute.
I have no idea. Just a lot was going on.
I hope Regis is okay. That's my main concern.
I hope he's all right, too.
Like some hot man-on-man action.
Survives this.
Jesus Christ. He's being used? Abused?
Regis Philbin. Hello?
Regis, it's Don from Don and Mike.
Oh, Don, how are you? How are you? Everything's all right. Everything's fine. It was actually pretty good.
Oh.
How are you? Jack's great.
Hey, you should know something.
Yeah.
While we were doing that segment, Joy called.
Oh.
And asked for your cell number.
Oh, no.
You didn't give her the cell, did you?
No, tell me you didn't get her.
No, I didn't. Did you?
Right. He normally doesn't.
She's out here in Los Angeles with me. How come she...
Oh, Rob.
But you gave her the cell?
I did.
You tell him he's gonna pay.
Look at your caller ID. Is it Joy?
I'm going to take the call.
All right, take it.
Hello. Hi, darling. Huh? I'm over at Jack's house. We're going to the game later. Evans? Huh? I don't sound like I do when I'm with him. Oh, stop it. You're being paranoid again. Did you go to the nice restaurant with the valet parking? That's great. You're going to get a manicure? Oh, good. All right. Botox later? I love you, too. All right. Bye. Bitch. Wow. Oh, what a bitch.
Are you bleeding?
I feel fantastic.
I bet.
I was a baby. Jack left. Jeff went down to his cabana. He's taking a swim in his pool. And, you know, I cried and I was upset, but now I feel wonderful. I feel like a new guy. He took the restraints off and everything's fine. Everything's wonderful. We're doing great. He's Jack, baby.
Do you still
Jack
feel,
Nicholson.
Do you, feel, huh? You still feel like you got the porterhouse steaks in your stomach?
No, I feel really good. It's just, it's all gone now. It feels free. I feel fantastic.
Yeah.
I feel fantastic. I've been violated. I'm lying, Don.
I know, Regis.
He heard me.
I know he did. But you
I
love him.
Go home. I want my mama.
It's your own fault, Jack. Jack. Jack said you.
Here he comes again.
Jack said you were dressed like a little whore.
Hello, Mr. Nicholson. You want some?
He's back from a swim.
I brought you some cheese whiz.
Oh.
To have some cheese whiz. No.
Okay.
Jesus.
Again, we get
wow.
I don't know. You know, they're wrestling or something. That's all I can guess.
I have no idea what's going on.
I don't know if they're arm wrestling or what, but you know, it just.
I don't know whether he was upset or whether he was happy. It was hard to tell.
I think happy.
It was hard to tell.
I've heard that sound before.
Can you call him just one more time, please? Just once.
Okay. But
just one. I want to find out if they interrupt them.
I'm pretty sure I know what's going on,
especially if they're having a good time. Just want to, you know, some closure. Ridiculous.
I don't think there's anything closed there.
I don't know what's going on.
I think it's more open sure than closure.
Regis could use some closure.
Hello.
Jack?
Yeah, who's calling?
Don Geronimo, Don and Mike Show.
Don Geronimo.
Hi,
Hello,
Jack.
How are you?
Looking for Regis Philbin.
He can't come to the phone.
Why?
Why?
The silly dude's unconscious.
Huh.
He lost consciousness. He might be taking a nap or he might be out for good. I'm not sure. We're going to get some medical attention for him, though. He couldn't play with the big boys. He's sitting here. I got him propped up on a chair. He's wearing tennis shorts and nothing else.
Oh, dear.
And his color's not real good. You understand when you're playing with the big dog.
Hey, Jack, one question.
Yeah, sure, fire away. I'll answer anything you got.
Do you like syrup or jelly?
I like jelly. Yep.
And
you know,
most all gays do.
Yeah, well, I mean, when he wakes up, I'll say, we're straight. That's it.
Okay.
Everything's fine, Don.
Nice talking to you, Jack.
Yeah, I'll splash some water on you. Have a great afternoon.
Take care of Regis.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, Jack.
I guess he already did.
Well, no chance to talk to Regis. He apparently is sleeping.
Very tired.
Very disturbed.
Hope he'll be okay.
Well,
okay.
I guess he'll, you know, you'll check his color the next time he got. Monday he'll be back on his show.
I think his color's red.
Once you go Jack, you'll never be back.
When we come back,
tennis shorts.
That's right. Point, counterpoint.
Yes.
We hate harmonicas. And there's a guy who loves harmonicas. And we're going to fight with him. Because that's what we do on this show.
Yay!
We're bullies, and we're going to fight him down from our bully pulpit.
That's right.
Bully! Generally, I'm for the mouth organ. But in this case, I'm anti-mouth organ.
Is it because he's making too much of a big deal about the mouth organ?
Yeah, Mike, and also it's the list of... It's Neil Young, it's Bob Dylan, it's Huey Lewis, it's Billy Joel, who may be the worst offender in the world, of wearing the harmonica with a big, gigantic retainer thing around your neck. Yuck! I hate it. I hate it. I hate it. I hate it. California man vows to keep harmonica bands alive.
Oh, boy.
Oh, bring him on.
All right.
Bring him on.
Here we go.
We'll be right back, everybody.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Vito Spiderfoy is a good man and is a wonderful dad. Somebody sees something one time and is tossed aside like garbage.
That's why I'm here, honey. There's been confirmation through the grapevine. Vito was seen in a car with a man. I don't want to get graphic beyond that. The idea of it repulses me so much.
Confirmation? Who? Oh.
The witness has no reason to lie.
About his boyfriend.
No. Yeah.
We can't be in denial no more, much as we love him.
The Don and Mike Show. Come, drink their hair water. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Now, I'm sure there's harmonica in this song. Huey Lewis.
Huey Lewis.
And the Boobs. I'm sure there is.
Yeah.
I like Huey Lewis. Let's turn that off.
Do you like any songs with harmonicas in them?
No, as a matter of
none?
Fact. No, and I like Huey Lewis a lot. And no. It pisses me off when I go to see, for instance, Huey Lewis. You know the song Bad is Bad?
You called him Huey.
Oh, okay.
Huey.
Huey.
Huey Louie.
Hooey Fooey. I go to see him, and you know the song Bad is Bad?
Right.
It's almost like a blues song, but it's rock, and it's not real fast.
Right.
One of those, bum, 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 bad is bad, bum, bum, bum. And then he comes out and does the goddamn 5-minute, you know.
That's what makes it blue.
And equally, even with someone as great as Steven Tyler with Aerosmith.
Right.
There's nothing I hate more than watching an Aerosmith video and seeing him pull out that little goddamn harmonica and want to.
You know, I'm your partner. I've been your partner for 20 years. You know I like
you're my radio partner and you're my gay partner.
You know that. And you know I like to support you on everything. But I have to be honest with you here.
I know you're a harmonica lover.
I'm not a lover. I'm not a lover. It's just
You're a lover, Mike.
I don't hate the harmonica as much as you do.
Right. Now, let me just say.
And I want to support you, you know. I mean, but I don't know where the hatred of harmonica is coming from here.
With Stevie Wonder? I accept it. He has no idea. He cannot look at himself in a mirror
right.
to know how retarded he looks.
Isn't she lovely? You don't like the harmonica in that?
Again, I said that there is an exception to every rule.
Can I ask a favor?
Stevie Wonder would
I
be
only
the
ask
exception.
One favor.
And also, there's one other exception, and then you can ask anyone.
Okay.
On occasion, the Blues Brothers.
Right.
With a harmonica, acceptable.
Okay, that's good, too. You know I like harmonica more than you do. But I'm not going to sit here and I'm not going to take this guy's side or anything. Can I ask one favor?
Sure.
When you guys were talking about this yesterday, I overheard you say that he would play the harmonica.
He's going to play.
Now, if you get into it with the guy, he might hang up. There's always that chance.
I'll let him
Is
play
there
first.
A chance that you could play first and then you could maybe
sure.
have the? Okay,
sure.
That's all. And then you know wherever it goes.
And what is this guy?
And I'll just sit here and say whatever I feel like saying.
What is he pushing, Rob?
He just wants to keep the harmonica alive.
It's a perfectly innocent.
No, I think it should be dead.
And now I've served to do nothing to help his cause right now.
Point, counterpoint.
You almost sounded like Elvis there.
Point, counterpoint. It is okay for a cripple to use one.
Hello?
Gentlemen.
You talk.
Jesus Christ. We had the wrong number, so we had to delete out a woman's
wrong number.
Right. One.
Well, I know the song you were talking about the other day when you were lambasting Billy Joel's. And Piano Man has a lot of that.
Yeah, a lot of harmonica.
All right, let's see if this is the right number. John Whiteman.
Mm-hmm.
Rob's kind of guy.
That's why Rob set up the interview.
Yeah, he booked the guy, sure.
White man. Hello, white man?
White man.
White man, how you doing? Johnny Whiteman, Don, Mike, Don and Mike's show. Welcome to the show, John.
Hi, Don and Mike. Thank you for inviting me on the show.
Now, you're from La Jolla, California?
Well, that's where I live right now. I'm actually from your neck of the woods. I was raised in suburban Maryland.
Oh, wonderful. Hmm.
And
did you get a chance to listen to the show when you were here?
No, I left there in 75.
Oh, that would predate us later. A little bit.
You have how many harmonicas there? Sir, how many harmonicas do you have?
I have 1,800.
1,800.
Wow, that's
and,
a lot.
And you have one that looks like a baseball bat?
Yeah, I do. Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Could you
play something for us?
Why is it you like the harmonica so much? And John... Why are you booking yourself on radio shows to promote the harmonica? Don't you know that most Americans by now think the harmonica's worthless?
Now all I wanted to do was play a song.
Oh, all right, I'm sorry. Would you play a song for my good friend Mike?
Could you just play a song, John, and then we'll continue with our nice conversation.
Point.
Then I can answer your question.
Okay.
Right.
What are you going to play for us, John?
Something sucky.
5'2" of blue, and I'll just play a little bit of it.
Don't you have some Bob Dylan, like Tangled Up in Blue?
Is there anything more contemporary than 5'2" of blue?
No, you see, that's the kind of music that I go for.
That's like the barbershop quartet music, Mike.
Yeah, it is.
Not helping the cause.
All you need is a straw hat and one of those pinstripe suits.
Not helping the cause.
Right, that's right. Be like the baby on board singers on The Simpsons.
She was brought up 30 years ago.
Okay, John, go ahead and play it.
Let's hear it, Johnny.
Now, here I was thinking maybe it would be.
Yeah. Keep sucking, sir.
That's on a chromatic harmonica.
Sure is.
Now, you apparently know.
I'm out.
That harmonicas are not very popular. And you are on correct me if I'm wrong, you're on a mini crusade to keep harmonica bands alive.
Yeah, somebody put some words in my mouth. You know, it makes good press to say something like that. I'm not a crusader. I'm doing it because I enjoy it.
Are you doing it because you enjoy having something in your mouth? Now, I would,
yes.
You know, there are plenty of gentlemen who perform like...
Oral gratification, you know?
There are plenty of gentlemen who play instruments like trombone.
Way to tease the prey before you go for it there.
Trombone, tuba, your reed instruments. I understand.
Do you play any other instruments, John?
Yes, the one that's even more hated than the harmonica.
The accordion?
Nothing is more hated than
the accordion.
The accordion. Oh, do you have your accordion handy?
No, I don't.
Awesome. Yeah, you could have won me over immediately. I'm an accordion lover.
You love the accordion.
Hater.
We've had accordion players on the show for years.
But you know what? The thing is, though, then let me just say, when you put the two together, you get very close to the much-dreaded one-man band area.
Yes, then you have to have a bass drum with your foot and the accordion in your hand and the retainer thing, as you describe it.
And you've got the cymbals, like, on your head. Now, John,
on his shoulder, Don.
When you play the harmonica, do you wear the neck brace thing?
No, I don't. I don't play the harmonica at the same time as the accordion. I actually play with a small band, and we don't go public very often.
Do you play anything funky in your small band?
No, nothing at all.
Oh, dear. I'm trying here.
Do you ever try to pick up an axe? I mean, a guitar? I don't mean like to, you know, like an axe, like, you know, Mommy.
Yeah, an axe. Sure, an axe.
You ever try to pick up a guitar? You ever try to pick up a drumstick? You ever try to pick up anything productive at all in the musical world? And listen, I'm not just a percussion rock and roll guy. I mean, as I mentioned, I enjoy a nice French horn. I enjoy the triangle. Okay? You know, the ding, ding, ding.
But you have a problem with harmonicas.
I like the cowbell.
But harmonicas aren't there for you.
Not so much.
Harmonicas suck. I like a nice big harp.
They blow, too. They blow.
John, is there anything you can say that would win Don over to the harmonica side?
Well, it's not my objective, but I would tell you that they're more than just the harmonica that I play that play the melody. We have bass harmonicas and there are chord harmonicas, and that's what I like to play more.
How many of your 1,800 harmonicas do you have?
How many are shaped like penises?
Some somebody gave me one many years
See?
Ago, my boss.
I knew it.
And, that was before I started collecting. I wish I had it now. So I
bet you wore that one out.
Yeah, right. All among those.
Yeah. Now, I have a theory. We were just talking about this before you came on the air. And thank you for coming on for Point Counterpoint.
Right.
I don't think the harmonica has a place in modern music, old-time music. I will give it to Stevie Wonder. He's blind.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't know what he's doing. And he's talented with it. The Blues Brothers, okay.
Maybe
if I have had enough to drink and I'm in that Belushi-type mood. But beyond that...
How about the guy that played the harmonica in the original Getaway? Remember that with Fade, with Steve McQueen?
Yeah,
no,
I don't remember that movie as good as you.
Blues Traveler, you're not a fan?
Oh, Buzz.
Yeah.
That guy is like John Popper.
Mm-hmm.
He's one of the main reasons I hate the harmonica.
Really?
Yes.
Wow. Getting a nerve.
Yes, for good sakes. Right. John.
Incredible.
No, John
there
Popper.
He is.
Not
Popper.
John Popper.
Okay.
Can you tell me a musical artist that you really respect who leans heavily on the harmonica?
There was Jerry Adler, but he's dead now.
Yeah.
Les Thompson, he was...
How about someone from this century? Like, for instance, are you a fan of Bob Dylan? Do you think Bob Dylan sucks that baby real good?
No. The blues harp and jazz just doesn't appeal to me as music, and so... It's just not my type of music.
Well, yeah, but I could make a case, John, for you that you know what you played. I mean, the guys that play like funky John Popper kind of harmonica, a little more fun than that 5'2" Eyes of Blue thing.
For them.
Where's your audience for this? I kind of hate to come over to the other side here.
Welcome to the side, Mike. Mike, you're a harmonica hater.
Where is
like
your
me.
Audience for what you just played?
People over 50, maybe people over 60.
Oh, you're probably over 60,
right? Oh, so you score a lot of old chicks? Is that what you do with this?
Do you play any chords with your harmonica at all? I mean, I heard only notes.
Yeah, I've got a chord harmonica.
You have one? Could you play that for us?
Could you play anything for us that's remotely more than how much is that doggy in the window or whatever you played before? You still want to argue?
I'm very, very sorry.
Oh, we heard that was fantastic.
Jeez.
Really, really good.
You think there's maybe somebody you could recruit to be a spokesman for harmonicas that might do a better job?
I'm not trying to be a spokesman for harmonicas. I don't care if people play the harmonica.
You don't care.
Well, then hold on a second. Yeah. How did you get booked on a radio show? Because I know that we didn't go searching for a harmonica player.
Yes, so somebody put it out on a wire service. I gave a presentation at a local library recently about their harmonica, and somebody said, "Well,
how many people were there? Four or five?
is somebody besides you trying to keep the harmonica alive?"
Yeah, right. Well, there were 100 people there, and they were all.
Hold on! Whoa! Stop the presses! Hold on! That's one with two zeros after it?
100, right.
That's pretty amazing. Next to the harmonica and the accordion, what would be your next favorite instrument?
The piano, if I could play it.
You can't play the piano.
You can't play it. Did you ever think of playing an instrument that maybe would make chicks like you?
No, I'm...
Do you like?
I like maybe listening, you know?
Oh, your wife.
Oh, your wife. How long have you been married, John?
42 years.
42 years. So you're an older gentleman.
So she's not
She's 64.
So she's not a beard.
She's what?
She's not a beard.
I don't know what a beard is.
How about that?
Isn't that something?
She doesn't have a beard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right, you have a beard. Well, that's something you can Google later tonight, having a beard. What that means.
Okay.
Out in California, you should know all about that.
When's your next big gig, John?
On the 29th, we're playing at the...
Isn't there a ground round?
Society.
Isn't there a ground round somewhere? What was the name of the place?
He didn't even get a chance to say where he was.
But hold on. What's the name of the place back in the day you went to eat? You could put the peanut shells on the floor?
Ground round.
Ground round.
It was the ground round. We have one in my hometown.
All right, I'm sorry. What gig will you be playing at? I'm sorry, I talked over you. Mike was right.
It's a historic... day at a museum in a small town near here.
A lot older people.
Will there be like guys dressed as Ben Franklin or you know any of our great forefathers?
I think it'll probably resemble the set of The Music Man.
They're dressed like that. Not that like anybody in particular.
Well, what's your favorite band? I mean, is there a favorite artist you have? That not take the harmonica out of it. I'm trying to get a little more idea of what you enjoy. What do you
music,
like? Yeah. The kind of music. Who's your favorite?
I don't listen to music.
You don't of listen to music. I'm done. Harmonica sucks.
Game, set, and match. I am the winner. I am the winner. I am the big winner. I have knocked you out.
Absolutely.
Boom. I am Ali. You are Frazier. Down goes Frazier.
So you don't listen to music.
No, I don't listen to music.
Well, do you?
But you love wrapping your lips around that worthless instrument. Could we hear before we let you go? And thank you for being on point.
Yes, John, we do appreciate you coming on the show.
Can we hear just a little more of your hit song?
Or any other song you want to play.
Well, whatever you play.
Another selection, please.
Please?
Okay.
I know it's tough to figure out how to put that thing up to your mouth and suck.
Blow.
Both.
Same thing.
What will you be playing for us now, John?
Good Night, Sweetheart.
Good Night, Sweetheart.
Okay.
This is a classic, so now we can agree. I have a question for you.
Why am I so smart?
Have you ever felt more right? I have to tell our listening audience, this was not set up to make Don appear more correct than he was.
It wasn't?
Well, that was...
applause.
That was wonderful.
Yes,
that was wonderful.
I didn't know he was through.
And
wow.
It was at 5:57 East Coast time. That would be at 2:57 East West Coast time.
Right.
That the harmonica officially died.
Right. Do you have, John, do you have a favorite television show?
Changing your mind.
John?
John?
Yes?
Do you have a favorite television show? Do you watch television?
Yes, I do.
What's your favorite television show?
Fox News. Special report.
That's it. I'm done.
You big fan? You big fan of the president? I bet he likes I bet he likes the harmonica. President Bush, don't you think so?
He probably does.
He probably likes harmonica music.
Yeah. He's doing a great job.
Yeah. As Buzz said, world's greatest harmonica spokesperson, John Whiteman. Thank you,
John. Thanks for being on the show.
Thanks very much.
Thanks very much. Hold on just 1 second. Rob needs to talk to you.
Yeah.
Sorry I had to beat you into such a bloody pulp.
just sport.
It's just a personal thing with me. I've always hated the harmonica.
You sound
like a nice guy.
Well, thank you.
Hold on, please.
That little burp for him.
A little bit. Okay, yeah. I'm sorry.
You know,
How do you think it went? Yeah, you did a great job, and I think you did a swell representation of the harmonica. I hope we can call you back someday. Thank you. God bless.
Oh, hold on.
Godspeed.
One more song, hold on.
Yes. Will you put?
Don has one more question for you on the air.
Right? Very good. Well, tell him something. Just...
Okay, hold on.
Hello, John.
Yes.
Christ is King.
Ah, very good. Hey, you're doing that after Easter too.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is a joke.
Good stuff.
I didn't mean it as serious stuff.
I bet he knows some hymns.
I bet he don't.
Do you know any hymns on the harmonica?
You know, God hates the harmonica.
Yeah, I do.
Ever read You ever read the Bible? You ever read on page 57 of the Bible?
Page 57.
No, I don't read the Bible either.
You should read that. Page 57, God's whole thing about how the harmonica really is a tool of Satan.
Well, here it is. It's on page 57.
You have it right there?
I will carry it with me.
See, look, it says the harmonica is a tool of Satan.
Okay.
Read it, Ma.
And God begat the saxophone and said, yea, though I walk through the valley of blues, I will not enjoy harmonica music. And thy kingdom will be thou if you do not play harmonica music, for thou will be cast aside like stones into the river of red if you play
now
harmonica music.
Now you go to page 58. I happen to know the Bible by heart.
Yeah, on page 58 it just goes on and on. And it ends with Paul's letter to the musicians, which says the harmonica shall be cast into the sea.
Mm-hmm. True or false that the first harmonica was made from a cloven hoof?
Like Satan.
True.
Or maybe a camel toe. Who knows?
Oh! Hey, little naughty!
Hey, do you know what camel toe is?
I sure do.
This he knows.
So I just want to make sure.
He didn't hear that on
How do we confirm
news.
on a family show like ours he's talking about the same camel toe?
He might think we're talking about like a real camel's toe.
Right.
I wouldn't.
No, you're talking about sucking and blowing, so, you know.
Hey, way to go, John. Okay. There you go, a sign of life. God bless you.
See you later.
He lives.
Thanks for being on the show.
Bye, John.
Bye-bye. We've got to open that up.
Bye-bye.
In a world where owning a radio was strictly forbidden,
it's like all those Fox News watchers.
To bring good news.
news to his people.
Campbell's house.
He made it up.
But did you read that crap that they think that Tony Snow from Fox News is going to take Scott McClellan's place as the new White House spokesman?
Really?
How did they just get Sean Hannity and give him the job?
That's they're all the same group. Fox News already doing the speaking for the White House.
Hey, Don and Mike, hello.
Hey, Don.
Yeah.
It was George Foreman, not Ali.
Correct. Okay. Thank you.
Well, you're saying
thank you, but don't correct me. Please don't correct me. No. Embarrassing me.
Bye!
Embarrassing me in front of everybody. Buzz?
Yes.
Hi there. It's news and comments now. Harmonicas suck. That's your lead story, right?
No, I think you covered that adequately.
More than that? Okay, what do you got tonight?
Tonight, the president announces he's the decider. How sunshine.
Oh, and you know, that was a direct quote.
Yes.
I'm the decider.
Also tonight, how sunshine is trying to kill you. And, honey, the doctor says I need a divorce.
Damn it, honey.
Stay tuned for news and comment coming up on the Don and Mike Show.
Thank you, Buzz. That was very...
That was very professional.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
The Don and Mike Show.
Coming up, Handsome Man recaps news in pleasing baritone. Stay tuned for this and more.
Yeah. Stinky Pinky. Think Pink. She don't play the harmonica. Although she could.
I bet she could.
Down there.
The Chosen, Don and Mike.
Now that I'm watching.
Pink.
Time for Buzz's new show brought to us tonight by the Visa Business Card. Business takes efficiency. Whether you pay by debit or credit, Visa Business helps you get things done. Your business is your life. Life takes Visa. Now here's Buzz. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Donna, Mike.
Hi.
Maybe if they use the word epidemic, they'll get your attention. The American Academy of Dermatology is out with its annual spring warning about the dangers of that fiery, evil spirit in the sky, our Mr. Sun.
Spirit in the sky.
Dermatologists say 1 in 5 of us will get skin cancer, and they say you've doubled your risk if you've had 5 or more sunburns in your lifetime.
In your lifetime?
In your lifetime. 5 or more.
Wow.
That's apparently the dividing line.
Cutting me guilty.
The doctors say...
Of course, I have the George Hamilton of this show.
Yeah, wait, you can, and see, different skin types can take it. You have the olive-colored skin.
So I'm swarthy.
You can stand a lot of sun.
I'm very swarthy.
Don is often known to go into airports on his vacation and ask the lady behind the counter, where's the sun?
That's all I say.
And he gets his ticket, and then he comes back.
I'm there with my ascot.
In a tuxedo sometimes.
Oh, that's the thing I forgot to mention with American Idol, the guy that I friggin' hate. The rocker, the bald guy that wears eyeshadow.
Yeah.
Did you notice last night he had an ascot?
Yeah.
Underneath his shirt.
His little vest.
Eat one. you I'm more of a rocker than you are.
Who's your favorite?
Besides Gaith Young, to win? Pickler Tickler.
Kelly Pickler.
Yeah.
Your choice.
I think so. My choice to bone, my choice to win the show.
Mm-hmm. Very good.
Your choice to bone and win the show, I know, is Taylor Hicks.
Taylor Hicks has been, after, of course, the Kevin Covias elimination. He was, he was my pick to bone and to win.
He's a boy, Mike.
Oh, that's right. I'm sorry. That's inappropriate.
Mike has just made a pedophile joke.
Yes.
Ava Longoria.
She thinks it's funny as hell.
Yes. She enjoyed it. It's hysterical. Skin type does make a difference. Dark-skinned people not as so much at risk as somebody fair like, say, Conan O'Brien, who would burst into flames if exposed to the sun.
Oh, thank God, we are safe.
Uh-huh. Well, nobody's safe.
SPF zero.
Some are safer than others. The doctors are also...
What SPF? Super powerful formula.
That's right. The doctors also say that skin cancer...
I thought you said dark people don't have to worry no more,
Buzz. I said darker-skinned people have less to worry about in terms of risk than fair-skinned people like, say, Conan O'Brien.
Where's the white man who is just playing a harmonica?
That's why Rob stays out of the sun.
That's right. That's why I'm gone.
Doctors also say skin cancer is not just for old people anymore. For women under 40, the rate tripled in a 27-year period ending in 2003. The Dermatology Academy is calling it an epidemic, and it says skin cancer is not just a head and neck thing anymore. More people are getting carcinomas on their torsos.
Carson.
ever had a carcinoma on your torso.
It's a wild carcinoma.
Dermatologists say that development is because of the use of tanning bulbs.
I'll drink to that.
You know what? I hate cancer.
I know you do.
Way to take a stand.
Thanks, Rob.
How it made the
Rob came all the way over to the microphone.
Just to say he hates cancer.
I do. I stand by that.
If the sun doesn't get you, an unhappy marriage might. Previous studies.
Oh, well, once again.
The Rob Spiewak News today.
Seems to be broken on the topic of a bad marriage.
Competitive. Do what he does. Hit it. Previous studies said that married people are healthier than single people. Maybe you've heard that before. Married people healthier than singles?
Right.
Well, make that happily married people healthier. The unhappily married, according to this new study, have more heart disease. The study shows that continuing stress, like smoking, takes its toll over time.
How's that ticker, Rob?
My arm is numb.
Researchers say this
have a cigarette.
They say this is bad news if you're advancing in age. They say the study leads them to believe that an unhappy marriage for an older person speeds up the decline in health that ultimately leads to death.
Would your hand feel like ginger ale now?
This whole side's dead.
Oh, no, he's having a stroke.
Ironically, the doctors say that one or more of the partner's decline in health may, in fact, lead to the unhappiness, which just brings on more bad health.
Catch 22.
The circle of life.
Yes.
The study followed Americans in three separate age groups over a 20-year period.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I could never do my banking at a place called the Fifth Third Bank.
Oh, they're all over the place down in South Florida.
The Fifth Third Bank?
I drive by. They're huge. I drive by the Fifth Third Bank.
Just based on the name?
Yeah. Too many unanswered questions.
Huge.
Which is it? Fifth or third?
Do you know where it's big?
And what the hell happened to the fourth?
It's down in Naples, Florida, where all those rich people
live. I see them down in, like, in St. Pete's, Florida all the time.
Big down there.
How do you spell it?
Fifth Third. It's the numbers are written.
Yeah.
F-I-F-T-H.
3-R-D.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
F-T-H-3-R-D.
That's how it's spelled.
But the fifth.
3-R-D.
The Fifth Third Bank of Evansville.
Third.
3-R-D.
The Fifth Third Bank of Evansville, Indiana, is where 39-year-old Marco Munoz worked in a management position.
Munoz. Marco.
Also, it's my favorite part of the birthday. It's my favorite part of the birthday cake.
The Fifth Third.
The Fifth Third piece.
Yes.
It was for Marco an ideal spot for stalking women.
Munoz.
So there's this bank. And this banker.
What's his name?
Marco Munoz.
Marco!
Munoz.
Hey, that's no fair. You opened your eyes.
Get the fish out of the water.
For Marco, this job, this banking job, an ideal spot for stalking women, especially, Don, TV anchor women.
Oh, hold on. Now you have my rabid attention.
I knew I would. Marco.
I'm standing up erect. That's quite an erection.
Didn't need to see that. Marco had access to their addresses and phone numbers, and he would allegedly call these women to read them their social security numbers over the phone and other private financial information. Then, apparently, worked up by the numbers, he would get, allegedly, sexually explicit. A morning news anchor in Indianapolis was the first to file a complaint.
Allison Starling? How you doing? This is Don. Your number is 262. That balance is getting a little low. Now I'd like to talk about some sex with you. And I, for some reason, sound like Adam Sandler. Hello. Steve? I know your number.
Everybody has a hobby. This man's trying to make a record-breaking rubber band ball right now. It is one of the top three largest in the world. One of them is Bethesda, I believe.
Oh.
Jimmy Leach says he's been working on the giant ball for the past 17 years. It has over 850,000 rubber bands. It weighs over 3,000 pounds. He says so far it has cost him between $6,000 and $7,000.
My favorite female anchor.
Yeah.
There she is.
Stevie.
What's his last name again?
Genevieve.
Rhymes with Genevieve.
Mm-hmm.
Here's kind of an odd sidebar to the recent marches to protest a crackdown in immigration laws. In Inglewood, California, some school children were forced to go to the bathroom in buckets in their classrooms. While students were walking out of nearby secondary schools to protest immigration reform.
Welcome to Ardinger Elementary.
Everyone go in the bucket.
One elementary school in Inglewood went into lockdown, the kind of lockdown reserved for nuclear attacks. The school board, which has been swamped with complaints from parents, says the principal made an honest mistake.
The principal made.
Oh!
Not in the bucket, however.
Yes.
Unlike the kids.
What's the Mel Brooks movie that has the...
History of the World Part 1.
That's it.
With Dom DeLuise as Caesar.
I like that.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Wipers?
Great.
That's
Caesar.
A different movie. Wipers is from the Eddie Murphy movie.
Coming to America.
Where he's in the tub. Right? He's in the hot tub with all those chicks.
And when he comes out of the bathroom is when he calls for the wipers.
Right. But doesn't the scene open with him like in a hot tub with
he's in the bathroom.
8,000 chicks?
He's bathing with a bunch of women.
You ever turn that movie on and look at Arsenio Hall and go,
yeah.
Listen, I know Eddie Murphy's going through a bunch of changes and stuff, but... You know, what is going on with you?
And where is Arsenio Hall? What's he doing now?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, isn't he like in some CBS show where he's like Nash Bridges or something like that?
No.
Didn't he for a while have a show where he was like a crime solver on CBS?
Maybe he did.
Sounds right.
I'm pretty sure Arsenio Hall did have like a serious show.
I don't watch any of his programs.
I know, white man.
Some parents say their kids...
There it is.
Necessary.
Some parents say their kids were embarrassed to tears having to go in a bucket in the corner or behind the teacher's desk.
Oh, I think it's a fun project. Right. Anyone who knows the name of that Arsenio Hall show, call now and guess what? It's Nine Inch Nails tickets.
We have exclusive Nine Inch Nails tickets.
Wow.
Anyway, if you know the name of the show, call now.
Please.
And here's Buzz.
Quoting the president...
Call now, phone jumper.
Quoting the president, I'm the decider, and I decide what is best, end quote.
What a beautiful quote. Now, Buzz, you love Next Step.
Oh, this is my favorite kind, really.
Watch him today, and this is a quote.
Yeah, exact quote.
You know, I'm the decider. Mm-hmm. It seemed to me like almost a movie trailer, you know.
Most people say that...
George Bush is... The decider.
The decider.
Mm-hmm. I thought of that. And most people would go with, say, decision maker. The president decided to go with decider.
Incorrect use of the language, correct?
I believe so, yeah.
I mean, I don't know if it fits. Sometimes you can say that. You can get a free pass.
I'm willing to bend the rules, but it's this guy.
The decider.
The decision maker trying to talk about rumors he might ditch Donald Rumsfeld and let somebody else manage the Iraq War for a while. The speculation was fueled by criticism of Rumsfeld from a handful of his own generals. In context, Mr. Bush said, quote, I hear the voices, and I read the front page, and I know the speculation, but I'm the decider, and I decide what is best, end quote. Oh, what is best, he said, is for Don Rumsfeld to remain as Secretary of Defense.
Of course.
Hello. I know we got a winner here. All the lines are ringing. Hello, Don and Mike show. Oh, no, it's a farting guy. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, I got the name of the show.
What was it?
Shaft.
Get out of here.
Bye!
I think you're mistaken. No.
Arsenio Hall Tree.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Ground Hall.
Hello?
Hello?
Yeah.
I know the show that Arsenio was on.
What? What, really? Seriously?
Huh?
Do you know it? Please. You're listening to the radio.
Listen to us. What is the show?
Mr. Dumas.
Martial Law.
Martial Law is correct.
Wait, is that a winner?
We got a winner. 1999 to 2000, according to IMDb.
We got a winner, and you've got tickets to go see Nine Inch Nails.
Congratulations.
Oh, cool.
June 13th, these are Villian. Get your tickets now. Ticketmaster out.
I am thrilled.
Ticketmaster outlets and online at Ticketmaster.com. How did you know that? Did you know it, or did you have to Google it?
No, I was a big fan of the show. I watched every episode.
You watched the show. What role does Arsenio play on the show?
I don't remember his name. It's been off the air for like 4 years.
What is his job? What is his job on the show?
He was a police detective.
All right.
I guarantee you his name was Marshall.
Marshall.
No. Marshall Law. Sammo Hung, an Asian guy who was a friend of Jackie Chan's, played Martial Law.
That's right. He was a secondary character on it.
Right.
I remember
added, and he wasn't even out. He was added later to the show. He wasn't even in the first season. He was on the second season.
Okay, I believe you that you watched it. I believe you. Hold on.
Arsenio played Terrell Parker.
Thank you, my friend.
Terrell Parker.
As you all remember.
Okay.
Remember to observe that restraining order, sir.
So Bush said these things after he just introduced his new budget director after giving the old one the boot. Today, other deck chairs on the Good Ship White House had been rearranged, and that's our story when we come back.
I'm hearing that too much.
Which? Deck chairs rearranged?
Yeah. I mean, you're a clever guy.
Yeah?
You're a clever guy. You can come up with something better than that.
Well,
are other
people using it? Because I hadn't...
Oh, Jesus Christ. Yes.
I haven't caught that.
Every show today, you're talking about like Roe being moved around and everything.
Right.
I mean... Even a guy like Matt Lauer, you know, and I love it on the Today Show or on any news show when they want to give an opinion, but they can't.
Right.
Like, you know, that I just get the feeling from watching Matt Lauer when they're talking to the big, sloppy Tim Russert.
How about this one? They're changing the house ban on the Poseidon.
No, he says, you know, about, as some might say who disagree with the president, they're just rearranging the deck chairs on
the Titanic.
Why not just come out and say it? Why it's, as some might say, as some might say, but I heard it four or five times. So you're a smart guy. Come up with something better.
Another analogy?
Will.
I absolutely will.
Right now.
Okay. The White House is getting a new coat of paint. Where's Paul? I'm not hearing Paul. That's better. That's how it's done.
That's pretty good. Getting the coat of paint. That's not funny, but he's right. I'm laughing that he asked for the Paul tape.
Because it was the transition.
That's what I was laughing
about. That's how you do that.
Okay, so you're going to talk about a bunch of changes.
Yeah.
At the White House.
Briefly.
When we,
just brief.
That's fine.
Uh-huh.
My only complaint was that I think everybody...
I'm struggling for like a Titanic analogy.
Everybody
here.
Is hearing, though, on every news outlet...
I didn't know that.
That it's like
I'm sorry.
And Buzz, you're a clever guy.
Yeah, well, thank you.
You're a very clever guy.
Thank
I'm sure you.
You
can come up with something better than they're repainting the White House.
I'll work on it. Not right now, because I just... I'm out.
Oh, okay. So you're tapped on the painting the White House?
I am. I thought I had one with paint, and it didn't go over as well as I'd anticipated.
The Hindenburg's getting some new helium tanks.
Hydrogen.
Sorry, see, I blew it.
Sorry.
So did the
sorry, Herr Fuhrer. I knew you. Sorry to not get your favorite part of history correct.
Mike, it was an act of God.
Okay. Buzz will talk about what's doing at the White House.
Another patch on the spare tire.
There. That's my man.
There you go.
Thank you, Buzz.
You bet.
We'll be back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
You know, a lot of shows come out of the gate big, but do you think this will last?
Totally. Everybody is talking about the show.
It's huge. Yeah, I mean, it's got buzz and all that, but it's also really good. So when people do show up, they see how great it is.
The Don and Mike Show. They pursue the rare and magical white unicorn, Don and Mike.
Right, Ryan. Hear that, Joe? That's for you, dude. M. Hatchin. And now some B. Burbank. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike. Here's my point about the changes at the White House. It's like trying to water your lawn with a squirt gun. It's like trying to clean the Grand Canyon with a toothbrush. It's like putting makeup on B. Arthur. It's like trying to replace Howard Stern with something called Free FM. What I'm saying, an inadequate solution to a really big problem.
What you mean to say is like rearranging the deck chairs on the Titanic.
That was my starter, yeah.
Yeah, sure. It's not going to do any good.
No.
How you doing, Praying Mantis? Does this go all the way to the vocal?
That's the whole record.
It's the whole goddamn record?
That's what you love.
And here she is now. Really. I wouldn't do her with your D.
Every night in my dreams.
There's nothing appealing about Celine Dion. It'd be like making love to a praying mantis.
Did you hear that?
What was that?
She just caught a fly.
That's right.
All right, I wouldn't hurt a fly.
All right, Buzz.
Here are the changes.
And Buzz, thank you for all of those alternatives to deck chairs on the Titanic.
You're welcome. I'll try to do better in the future.
You give us the challenge. You give us the changes. I will be John McLaughlin.
All right.
Go ahead.
Go.
White House. You want me to read them again? We're going backwards. You want to? Is that what you're saying?
It's just whatever the did they make them already?
Yeah, we're done.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay. I'm sorry.
Here are the changes that were made at the White House.
That's what I was asking.
Oh, I thought you meant the changes I'd made. I'm lost. White House spokesman Scott McClellan gone. His number one rumored replacement, shocker, a guy from Fox News, as Don mentioned, Tony Snow.
Wrong.
We've also been told that Karl Rove will stop setting policy and attend instead to the upcoming train wreck elections. The changes were engineered by a new White House chief of staff who's also keeping Karl Rove on as one of his three deputy chiefs of staff.
Wrong, Buzzy Wuzzy.
Well, the changes come just in time for this president, about whom 47% of Americans say they strongly disapprove.
Good.
There it is.
Did you catch Cheney's number, incidentally?
His number?
His population is popularity number.
I've seen them before. They were down below 30, I believe.
Now keep in mind when Nixon was going down,
right?
Nice. When you had the whole on path.
There's a bad.
When Nixon was doing the whole "I'm not a crook,"
it's Pat,
and they found out that he indeed was a crook.
Right.
His popularity went down to 21%.
That's right. Wow.
Which is an all-time low for a president or a vice president.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, your man, Big Dick Cheney, standing at 18%.
Oh!
18%.
I had seen 16% and 17% as well. So
18. Well, wow. It was 18 when I left the house this morning.
Crazy zany Dicky Cheney. Wrong. So considering all that, maybe there's a market for this. Neil Young, the aforementioned harmonica player, is dedicating an entire album to stepping on the neck of President Bush. Unlike the Stones, Green Day, Eminem, and the Dixie Chicks, Neil's not just doing an anti-Bush song, he's releasing an anti-Bush album. Living with the War features 10 songs, culminating in a little ditty called Impeach the President.
It's a shame that the only guy that's doing something like that is a guy that's 70 years old and did it way back when anyway.
That is a shame.
And really, I mean, more obnoxious maybe than Billy Joel in his own way.
You know who I'd like to see doing an anti-Bush album?
Who?
Yeah, I'd be listening.
Oh.
Kelly Pickler.
And I swear to God, I swear to God, I'm just going to say Taylor Hicks. I swear to God I was.
Modern it up. And now might be a good time to get a good deal on one of those hate the sin, not the sinner t-shirts. Everything must go at the big Christian coalition going out of business sale. Sure, conservative Christians have a grip on all three branches of government, but money keeps the lights on and the money's drying up. The budget that was $26 million for the Christian coalition is down to its last million. Pat Robertson's 17-year-old political action group is now more than $2 million in debt, and its creditors have started filing lawsuits. And the wheels are coming off. One of Pat's biggest chapters, the one in Iowa, has now severed its ties with Pat's group, and that was one of his most effective affiliates.
Is God putting some money on your heart?
Yo, Pat, we notice you're not paying your dues there. We got to do some leg breaking.
Is God putting money on your heart?
Yay!
On your Visa and your MasterCard. Hallelujah!
And remember, Ernest Angley didn't say it.
Amen.
Amen.
I said amen.
When we come back, Sex Machine.
Mm. You're plenty early.
Really?
Yeah, by my clock you're early.
Well, I have time for this.
Okay, go ahead.
Men and women have different brains. We knew that already, but now we're learning more about how they differ.
You know, he has stories once in a while where he could just say that. Men and women have different brains.
Okay, I agree.
Here's the proof.
Ours are better than theirs.
A new study says men get a great satisfaction out of seeing a bad guy suffer physical pain.
Okay.
Women, not so much in the study. Schadenfreude is the name the Germans gave to the joy of seeing other
That's
people.
That's Rob's named his cat, isn't
suffer.
It?
Yes, my beautiful cat, Schadenfreude.
Schadenfreude!
Well, it's not just a German thing. Apparently, it's also a guy thing. But a German researcher in London says women may get satisfaction from other kinds of vengeance, like psychological or physical pain.
Yeah, the dish best served cold.
I misspoke. Psychological, or in the case of women, financial pain, according to this study, as any divorced guy can tell.
Hi, everybody.
See, I'm glad you threw that in. We had time for that.
Right. And when we come back.
You nailed it. That's why I chopped off my finger today.
What's coming up when we come back?
Sex Machine.
Sex Machine.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Gosh, I hate to interrupt. It's all been so incredibly fascinating and entertaining and instructive. Really, the time has just flown by.
It's time for a little rippy-dippy on the Don and Mike Show.
Sorry, Rob.
They're all the same. Especially if you turn them upside down. Hey, we're talking about the fair of sex.
You go hungry, bow, bow, bow.
Kevin. Here is Guy Bradley. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike.
Hi there.
Finally, well, maybe the problem is you can't get a date or can't get a good one. Maybe you just don't feel like bathing. Maybe what you need is an artificial sex partner. The Kinsey Institute of Indiana says virtual sex is less than 10 years away.
Is this like the Kinsey that was
same
in the movie with Liam Neeson?
That's
and,
the one.
Yeah, ooh. Yeah.
That guy.
Won't everybody use that?
Wasn't that loosely based on your life? That guy, Kinsey?
He and I palled around a bit.
I seen the movie on pay-per-view, and boy, he just liked doing everything with everybody.
And he, Buzz, also knew Masters and Johnson.
That's right.
Right. Although, you know what, I think unlike Kinsey, I think you probably draw the line. He went both ways. He liked finding out what went on
with
men as well as with
he
women.
He was a researcher, a sex researcher.
And what are you exactly? A sexaholic.
Well, student. Student.
Yeah. Sex student.
Grad student.
Buzz says that he's a student of the art.
That's right.
Grad student.
And then Virginia Masters. Very nice. The Kinsey Institute of Indiana
says
virtual sex is less than 10 years away. A professor emeritus at MIT agrees, quoting him, closer than you think, these virtual sex partners. Quoting the director of the Kinsey Institute, erotic materials that would allow you to create a partner of certain dimensions and qualities, saying certain things happening, end quote. Some companies are already on the cutting edge, one of them offering toys that are controlled by someone you've met on the internet. Sex researchers call this emerging field teledildonics.
I like it.
At Carnegie Mellon University, they've developed a machine that replicates the warmth and flexibility of a human hug. But quoting one skeptic, right now they're having trouble making robots that just sweep floors. I'm Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show.
Do these robots make virtual dinner?
You know, I would like, I heard about a bunch of guys went to the California Learning Institute in Tarzana.
Yes.
CLIT.
Good night.
Tarzana.
We'll see. That's where Rick Deasley lives, Mike. I'm not kidding.
Tarzana.
He's from Tarzana.
You get there by boat.
We'll see you tomorrow, everybody, with a new episode. Good day to you,
Good
sir.
Good day to you, sir.
Good day to you, sir.
I've gone to City University of North Tahoe.
City University.
Thank you.
I can read. Okay, I get it.
Goodbye.
Till we meet again. This is Sammy Davis Jr. saying, be kind, be nice, and I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave you swinging.
This is the Don and Mike Show.